money, Mr. Breakfast!
You're tuning in to the Raised by Rentals program. This podcast will contain strong language and spoilers for decades-old media properties.
Welcome, everybody. This is the podcast where we examine pop culture franchises of the VHS era, improv news stories, and make up a bunch of weird bullshit to cash in on our tiny audience's nostalgic shared love of our favorite movies, TV, and games. I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Mike from Cock Creepy Head, the other Mike.
And we were raised by rentals. Mikes, plural.
It's the other combination of Mike, Josh, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Mike, Josh.
We need another mic for that. Let's check out the microphones, and then it's like Mike, Josh.
Exactly.
Years ago, a friend of mine named Mike went in Rochester, New York. Mike Rutenberg, his friend to like fuck with him, changed his ringtone to Mike. and then he would keep calling him like when he knew that Mike was in class.
That's amazing.
Oh, and 20 years later, I still think about that. Anyway.
I still think of the squish spider incident.
Oh, God. We'll have to save that story, but yeah. Anyway, we welcome Michael LeMay from Count Creepyhead, Saturday Morning Monster Mash. I meant to write down like how long it's been since you were on the show, but I'm pretty sure the last time you joined us is when we had a conversation about it was Thanksgiving.
So a little over a year
ago. The last
time
we were all together was Lady in White.
On Boogeyman's Closet, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One big show to me. this is like the X-Men comics? This is like... Yeah. The Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the other podcast is X-Men Blue. The
adjectiveless X-Men or...
Yeah. Which one of our podcasts is Excalibur? The offshoot.
Or which one is X-Force, the best?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm suddenly drawing blanks on all the X's. X-Force, yeah. X-Factor.
Oh, yeah. There's
two. Count Creepyhead, I'm going to stake claim on X-Statics.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Nice.
That's a good, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know what ours would be. Maybe we'll be the Astounding X-Men or one of those like Age of Apocalypse like crossovers, whatever they were, the Astonishing X-Men or whatever it was.
But come yeah, to we me, all, my Mike Josh Mike Man.
Exactly. I think it's telling that you've blocked out the memory of watching Pulse with us.
Oh, that was the last one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one just happened too.
I know.
My toaster electrocuted me and gave me brain damage, and I have no memory of it.
The dog's trying to kill me, and the toaster's been laughing at me. little shout out for our friends over at So It's Come to This, a little Simpsons reference.
There you go. Yeah, we're just going to reference all the podcasts that we hope everyone who listens to this show listens, because I think our audience is so like incestuous that these are the only podcasts we ever listen to are each other's.
Exactly.
We're the kissing cousins of podcast networks.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. So we've already completely devolved into nonsense, and we didn't even tell the audience what the fuck we're here to talk about. But, Mike, we're glad that you're here.
Yeah.
And you inspired the topic for today's episode, but you had an even better idea after that, which is to not only serve up the idea, the gem or the seed of a story, but then to play horror host in much the same way as we had with Sam when she came on to help us craft the tales of Jürgen, the Yuletide Avenger. So... on a recent episode of Count Creepyhead Saturday Morning Monster Mash, it was actually January 24th, because I have no idea when people are listening to this one, you did an episode about the greatest Saturday morning cartoon of all time, Yep. And the one that won was, it was so obvious from the beginning that you should have just taken it out of the running right off the bat just to make things more interesting.
True.
Hey, the fun is the trip to the end.
Right? Right.
Nobody likes the end of the role-playing game. It's the journey.
There you go. The journey, not the destination, exactly. Right. But it was a great episode. And if you did follow all the way to the destination, right at the end of the episode, you just threw out a random idea for a Raised by Rentals topic, and you said, a House of Pancakes slasher movie where the killer is Pancake Face.
I just love the name Pancake Face.
Actually, right? You guys got it wrong. The killer is Mr. Breakfast. Mm. So... it was a play on Pee Wee Herman talking with his breakfast in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Okay, and yeah.
I said it out loud because you guys, you're so good at what you do. I can just throw out like Mad Libs style, which is what I'm going to do here in a minute. Just something. And you guys are so hyper creative. You can make it into a story. So I could say like killer sneaker. And you guys feel like, all right. And then boom, you go. You know what I mean?
You know, don't pump up the Nike pumps too much. It'll explode in your face.
Sorry. Yeah, I immediately started thinking about a story about possessed shoes that would eat your feet.
Exactly. So if they can make a killer condom, you can make killer sneakers. I'm sure actually.
It probably exists.
There's a market for that because of sneakerheads. I literally was just looking down and I was like, killer sneaker. But yeah, because people collect sneakers, somebody died in the sneakers. You put the sneakers on, they're haunted. Or they eat your feet, whatever. It writes itself.
I mean, you can have killer tires. You can have, you know, killer cars, whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, you can make anything creepy or scary or potentially like just so silly that people go along with it anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that those are the most fun. And when I was listening to that episode, I just happened to be driving by a Waffle House. So when you mentioned House of Pancakes and Pancake Face, and I was just like, oh, man, Waffle House, horror story, like that just writes itself. Like, we got to do this for sure.
Right. Well, I do remember like during the episode, like when you mentioned Mr. Breakfast, like we both started cracking up thinking about like talking about a killer that just wears a pancake on his face. So I think and then I was like, I'm Pancake Face. So I think that's where the Pancake Face part came in. But I love the name Pancake Face. I think that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So let me give you guys my idea. And let you do whatever you want with it. So. You guys have done a lot of slasher episodes, mm-hmm. and they're my favorite. Slasher Camp, Jürgen. What I've noticed something in your storytelling is that you guys kind of lean on familiar elements that pop up in slasher movies all the time, but you guys go back to like the same character types.
Okay.
Over and over again. So you always have like the smart ass goth chick, the nerd. Yeah. And I've, no exaggeration, I've seen over 100 slasher movies probably. If I sat down and thought about it, I've watched so many. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have reoccurring characters and reoccurring like story skeletons and themes. They're not high art ever.
No.
unless you count like the first ones who did it first. Then it's like everything else after that is, you know, ripping them off, imitations of sincerest form of flattery, et cetera, et cetera. So what I did is I had this idea that, like, you know what? If I made a list of all of the reoccurring character types, all of the reoccurring story skeletons, all these elements that reoccur, and if I shuffle them up and put them in a random number generator, and I said, okay, guys, you can tell this story, but instead of your knee-jerk reaction of, like, we're going to have the tough goth chick, the cheerleader, the virgin, I shuffled up all the character types, so you're not going to get that.
Nice.
I took the story skeleton they rip off, and you may be thinking that it's going to be this one thing, but actually you've got to fit it into this other framework because that's the number that the computer spit at me.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to give you guys all the pieces that I generated randomly, kind of apples to apples, Cards Against Humanity style, and you have to work with it.
Nice.
To make a story that so far the audience only knows that there's a killer who wears a pancake on their face.
Okay? Well, it's not just the audience. I mean, that's all I know, too.
Yeah, that's because that's all I know.
This is you guys going in blind because I've had this opinion since the show started. When you guys are like working on the fly, that's when you do your best stuff. When you overthink and you overprepare, that's when it gets a little muddy. Mm. I'm one of the people who thinks that the best kind of artwork is the artwork you can do in 15 minutes, not the stuff that takes years.
Sure. Yeah.
That okay. That's sense. The like, best kind of creativity.
Yeah. It's so, that lightning in a bottle inspiration stuff. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. Just pull it out of the air. So let me give you guys the TV guide synopsis, and then I'm going to give you the pieces you have to work with. Are you ready?
All right. Let's do it.
The town of Flapjack, Arkansas's yearly breakfast festival is in jeopardy as someone or something is killing people before the big pancake eating competition. When the mayor refuses to shut down the festival, can five unlikely friends solve the mystery of Mr. Breakfast before the bodies are stacked like pancakes? Dun, dun, dun. So.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Let me give you guys the random elements that were drawn. So Your creative brains can start working. And as you guys do this, I'm just going to chime in where I think I can throw in something funny.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do it.
First random element. What decade is this slasher movie set in? You guys got the 70s.
Oh, God. Oh,
okay.
Okay. A lot of good slasher movies coming out of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice setting. It helps you define characters and also lets you know that there's no cell phones.
Yes.
Love it. This
is lovely. Stuff like that.
It makes every slasher movie easier.
I wanted to give you guys four characters to work with. Four main characters to keep it easy.
Okay.
But there is a catch. So as I was drawing random characters, let me give you guys the characters, your main characters you have to work with. Obviously, if there's tertiary characters that just get killed, mm-hmm. totally fine. You've got the guy who can't stop playing jokes, a classic reoccurring slasher movie character. Think Shelly from Friday the 13th Part 3.
The first thing prankster. I thought of.
All right. Yep. The prankster. Someone whose main characteristic is they're in a wheelchair.
Just think. Like the guy from Friday the 13th Part 2. I forget what his name. The guy with
and
the
Franklin.
Red, and Franklin, yeah, from Texas Chainsaw.
Another reoccurring slasher movie character. This next one, the religious nut.
Okay.
That's number three. You've got the paramedic. nice. Another reoccurring cannon fodder character in slasher movies. And last but not least, guess what? I fucked up in the opening. It's not five characters. It's six because you got twins.
Twins. Oh. Okay.
Their main characteristic is they're twins.
How original.
They're the creepy weirdos. Okay, got it.
Or like the Doublemint twins that are in Friday 4.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think of the creepy little redheaded kids from The Great Outdoors.
I was just going with 80s tropes of usually twins are creepy in movies. Yep. So.
Okay.
Now, more details you guys get. One of my favorite things in slasher movies are the ones where the characters have a little goal that they're trying to achieve or a little character arc. Okay. So it's usually the character who's the virgin who wants to lose their virginity. So you get invested in these characters because you're like, are they going to lose their virginity?
Before they lose their life?
Yeah. So it's like you actually care about them instead of the slasher movies where it's just like, I'm here and I get killed, which I don't like that. I like somebody who has like, why are they here? Why are they at this party? Whatever. So here you go. The guy who can't stop playing pranks, the prankster, wants to lose his virginity.
Okay.
All right. Guy in a wheelchair or a girl in a wheelchair or both in a wheelchair wants to profess their love to someone.
Okay.
The religious nut can't stop playing the guitar.
Okay.
Okay.
I hate that guy.
The guy around the campfire who just, there's always this freaking guitar. Why? I don't know, but that's their thing. That's what they get. Paramedic has a secret.
Oh, okay.
Dun, dun, dun. And the twins want to make the world's greatest X something.
Okay.
These are your main characters you have to work with. Now, another element that I threw in here, these slasher movies always have one marketable actor.
One marketable actor.
Okay. The rest are unknowns, but you get that one, like I was on a soap opera, like they've got a budget and they blow it on one actor. I made a list of 30 actors. I put it in the random generator.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. The casting director gave you this actor as the mayor of Flapjack, Arkansas. Maybe they invented the pancake. I don't know. Or maybe they're just named Flapjack, so they've turned it into this festival. You guys got Corey Feldman.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Wait, but if it's... I was thinking it was filmed in the 70s, but no, it takes place in the 70s. Got it. Okay.
Okay, well, so now we know it has to be a period piece. Yeah, to your point, yeah. It can't be made in the 70s. And that could... Like, that could give us some, you know, some angle on it, because movies made in the 70s versus period pieces now, like, there's going to be some differences.
Absolutely.
I started listing actors from the 70s, and I thought that most of the audience would know them.
Okay.
Of that caliber, like Josh Brolin's father. What, you know, like, James, there's not a lot of, like, yeah, reoccurring actors in the 70s unless you're a diehard movie nut that you're going to be like, oh, that's the guy from Walking Tall. Mm. Now let's get to the character of Pancake Face, Mr. Breakfast, whatever you guys want to know. The reoccurring slasher character, again, reoccurring elements. Is it a whodunit? Evil twin, etc. That always, it's just like whoever makes these movies, it's one of a handful of things. It's always the character. So here's who you get. Mr. Breakfast, mm-hmm, is back from the dead. Okay, so you have an undead killer, and he or she is an ex-student that died in a horrible breakfast-related accident.
Breakfast-related accident. That is a phrase I never thought I'd hear, but okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm already thinking of some stuff. Okay.
This isn't common knowledge. Maybe this unfolds as the plot goes along. I don't know. This is for you guys to figure out.
Okay. I already got a couple ideas.
All right. Yep. So this is the game. These are the pieces you guys have to use to make a slasher movie in the 70s.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. No, I think we can work with these.
I got some things brewing.
And the framework that got drawn for, mm-hmm, your story was Jaws, which is where the I don't want to close the town because of the festival.
Oh,
it's because of tourism. So there's somebody with a pancake face killing people, but we need the money for Flapjack, Arkansas, which gets copied many, many times in slasher films, where the mayor, the chief of police is whatever. Like, we can't stop the festival. We need the money. Think of Thanksgiving. That was kind of the point.
Oh, absolutely. Shit, I kind of did the same thing in my Boogeyman's Closet joke episode, where with my horror story, I did the same exact idea. Oh, we can't cancel the holiday party. Yeah. You know, it's it's tried and true slasher.
Do you really want people to know that was a joke? Because...
Oh, I already announced it.
All right, because I fell for that for quite a while. Looking for
I let it go for a year. I let it go for 1 year, and then I announced that it was a fake.
Yeah.
But it was funny because you weren't the only one. Several people fell for it. So.
You announced it on a Patreon episode, I believe. So I don't.
No. It was on our Christmas episode. This past, or I should say, our was it New Year's Evil? Might have been New Year's Evil.
Oh, okay. Year end episode.
Yeah, because it was we ended up not doing a Christmas episode because we were gonna do a Christmas one, but the way the Mondays fell, it was like, oh well, shit, the mean one is gonna come out on Christmas. So, and then we just did a little like blah blah blah, you know, and talked about it was a fake out. Haha.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. My only contribution to that was Dick O'Clock.
That was a great contribution though. But no, I had you, you know, obviously reading it and checking all the scenes to make sure that it made sense. Cause I was writing it like, I just gotta get this out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally did. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of notes. Like I said, I only just added in some dialogue here and there where it seemed like you were just like, hurry up, get to the next part. You know what I mean? Because normally you're like the dialogue guy. So there was like some chunks where I was like, wait, like, where's the
dialogue?
Where's the big long conversation with all the crazy jokes, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely appreciated it too, because that particular scene, I was like, yeah, I did speed through that shit. Okay. Let me slow it down. So,
yeah, no, it totally worked though. That was a lot of fun. And I was reading the script and still didn't know who the fucking killer was until the end. So it was good.
But so with this, I think a step one, I think we need to name our characters and decide male or female. So Prankster, I mean, that feels like a dude that just that feels like a nerdy, sad dude.
Okay. One last piece.
Oh, God.
your final girl.
Oh,
again, okay. Chosen at random. This is the one that makes it out at the end.
Okay.
Character in the wheelchair.
Oh, the character in the wheelchair has to be the final girl?
Yes.
Okay, that changes something. Okay, hold on. Let me.
Interesting. Okay.
That changes the death scene I had planned. Let me change that real quick. Okay.
So unless we do like a fake out. We can always do like a fake out too, right?
Yeah. Like the character let's say you're you think playing is
dead who comes back later.
Let's say you're playing this game at home and you actually draw, you know, you pick four cards, five cards, and you draw the cheerleader or the virgin. Mm-hmm. So like your knee-jerk response for a slasher film is, oh, they live till the end. Maybe they don't. You know, maybe the creepy cook is the one who survives.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, we'll find out.
There's a bunch of stuff that didn't get picked that if we ever come back to this, you could use it again. So
sweet. I'm just going to go ahead and say the scene that I was thinking about because it's not going to get used now that we're changing that to a female character and to the possible final girl. I'm not going to use this, but my initial thought was I was thinking of a very much like a Franklin character trying to escape in like a Waffle House at night type of thing, like wheeling through the place and having Pancake Face whip a pancake at his wheels like a stick in the spokes of a bike and have it flip him where his face lands on the griddle. that was the as soon as you said wheelchair character, I'm like, ooh, okay, I got this face griddle idea, but still, it's in the episode now.
Yeah.
All right. But, well, we can still use it at some point. At some point, our
someone can
wheelchaired
get
final. Yeah, no, but we can do the just separate the two, right? Our wheelchaired final girl. I mean, if we're talking about that person surviving to the end, I mean, I'm just thinking of like Linda Hamilton in Terminator, just like, you know, crawling through trying to hide, like all on, you know, army crawling through
final girl
wreckage somewhere. I mean, whatever. Final so boy. Like,
hey, you know what? You can get a griddle on the face and still survive.
This is true, but we could possibly use the griddle face death with a different character. But well, okay, I mean, so
we're gonna have to.
Or hey, right. You could have Pancake Face die and Griddle Face take over for part two.
Nice. So
all right.
When you said prankster, the first guy I thought of was the fucking annoying puppeteer from Spookies. the dude who has that little like
the ventriloquist guy.
Yes, I fucking hate that guy. Like, he's such a douche. So I'm picturing that kind of a guy. Like, it's the 70s. He's gonna have the really bad mustache and like the coiffed hair that's just kind of like a Donald Trump comb over. You know,
suspenders.
Oh yeah,
gaudy suspenders.
And he should be that level of chubby where it's like. He's not seen as the fat guy. He's just considered like the big guy, but he wears a shirt that's a little too tight. So, you know, you can see his man boobs and his belly button like through his gray T-shirt.
Yeah.
Maybe he has no idea why women don't want to have sex with him.
Right. Right.
He's just oblivious to it when it's obvious to everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, the suspenders need to be his like whole personality too. Especially if he's a big dude, like he's wearing suspenders to like, you know, hold up his pants that are probably too big because it's the 70s. Yeah, so he's got his pants are too big and his shirt's too small. Somebody has to refer to him at some point as like a rodeo clown because of his look, you know. And yeah, he's trying to lose his virginity, so he just needs to be that skeevy character you see in a lot of movies who like it's like every woman who comes within his line of sight, he's just like, "Hey mama, how you doing?" And it's just fucking uncomfortable.
Total shotgun method, like, you know, oh, there's a lady in the room, let me try to hit on her, eventually it'll stick, you know. Yeah. That type of a guy. And definitely he is the type of guy, much like the little brother and Just One of the Guys, that would talk to his own dick. He's the type of guy that, like, you know, if he loses out when hitting on a girl, he's gonna look down at his own dick and be like, "Sorry, tiny," you know, like there's gonna be some kind of conversation with his penis. So I don't know why, but the name Mark keeps popping into my head.
Mark. Okay. Yeah, you mentioned the little brother from Just One of the Guys, whose name is Buddy, and I just thought, oh, that'd be perfect if he has like some stupid name like to go along with his like stupid personality.
Buddy's good though.
Yeah,
I like. Let's go with Buddy.
All right, let's save Mark for somebody else. I don't think we've used Mark too many times, like because we, no. we have to avoid our tried and true names that come up a lot.
Exactly.
You guys do that a lot. Single syllable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy to remember.
Yes.
Exactly.
Especially
like you don't remember the names of these characters until you watch the movie for 20 times. You just like suspenders guy.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Like we do fall into that trapping a lot. But yeah, like name me any character that's not a final character or one of the standout because they have crazy personality characters from Friday the 13th. Like don't name me the wheelchair guy in part two or the prankster. Who was the blonde guy?
No idea. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they all use the same names, too. I mean, it's a joke how many Nancys and Alices there are in 80s right. horror movies. So it's like, who cares? But these are just
Mike's.
Oh, yeah, Ted.
And honestly, if you needed nudity in a movie, not that in podcast form it makes any fucking sense. The jokester character is the guy who is like plays a prank so you can have boobies in your slasher film.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And we've done it a few times when we've been improvising where we've pointed out like a raunchy scene specifically because it was like, okay, if this were a real movie, they would definitely have somebody walking in on the girl while she's changing right now. Like, you know.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, okay. Wheelchair girl.
Poor guy.
Well, like I you said, final girl. I like the idea of throwing the girl out there, especially because when it comes to the wheelchair character, the only time I can remember a like at least a standout female character in that role was Chucky's daughter in Curse of Chucky in Part 6. Every other time you have the wheelchair guy in a slasher movie, it's a guy. So I think that is an interesting twist. It's changing it to a girl. So. I know, Josh, you mentioned how many times have they used the name Alice, but of course, that's the name that's now sticking in my brain. But what do you got? Do you have a name for her?
Well, you mentioned Ted, and I'm like, yeah, that actually is kind of a great name, especially for the 70s. I feel like that was popular. But also, I think there was definitely a popularity in the 70s of girls having like more masculine names. Like I have a cousin named Joe, you know, or names like...
Alex,
yeah, and even Michael has a female name. Mm-hmm. Let's go with like Teddy, short for like Theodora. And if this wheelchair person is like any other in these types of movies, there's gonna end up being a scene where like somebody has a crush on the person in the chair, and they're gonna sit down and like try to have a conversation, like, oh, how'd you get in the chair, and like, what's Teddy short for, and blah blah blah. So it'll be like maybe Buddy could do that, but it'll be a ham-fisted kind of a way for us to do a little bit of a backstory, even if it's, you know, like again, it's Buddy who's just like, how'd you get in the chair, huh? You know, yeah,
what happened to your legs? How come they don't work? Yeah, that would be Buddy.
Teddy, short for I'm fucking crippled.
Yeah. Like,
Teddy, you know, short for I got no legs.
No, I'm picturing the skateboard guy from Kids.
right.
Got no legs. I've got no legs. Okay, so the religious nut.
Sorry, I just thought of Meet the Feebles too. Yeah.
I got
one leg missing. How do I get along? All right, go ahead. Yes.
Okay, the religious nut. So we got one guy, one girl. I feel like the twins, the twin inventors, like they should be girls.
Yeah. For the religious nut, I was thinking this is probably a good place for us to use Mark. And I'm thinking of the like super blonde, like Fred from Scooby-Doo looking kind of a dude, but he's like part of that like Jesus freak movement, and he's just constantly like, you know, something's going wrong and he's just like, oh, let's pray, or, you know, that reminds me of, you know, the story of Jesus or whatever. It's like he's constantly just like shoehorning the shit in a conversation and busting out his guitar at the campfire and they're like, play us a song, and he's just like fucking kumbaya, and you know, my God is an awesome God, and it's like, dude, Shut up.
Row, row your boat ashore. Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm immediately picturing him walking into a room, like, guitar slung on his back, and be like, this calls for a song, y'all. Like, just jumping in. Like,
exactly. It's like, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a guy you may have heard of. His name is Jesus. One, two, three.
Yeah. No, that's, I can see this character. Okay. I feel like I got a good handle on who that guy is.
And he's got that, like, Farrah Fawcett hair, like, all faded out, blonde shit, you know?
Dude, that's exactly what I was picturing. Like, 100% what I was picturing.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
That's fucking awesome. Okay, so, let's see. The paramedic who has a secret, which, I'm curious, we gotta figure out what his secret is, but,
yeah. You
know, maybe he steals the socks of the corpses, I don't know.
Well, I mean... You've got a dead character, or, you know, Mr. Breakfast Pancake Face is coming back from the dead. I mean, if you need anybody just to give you that exposition, it's the
paramedic
with the secret. Like, I was there when we found his face melted to the griddle. Or, I told him to not eat so many pancakes. He didn't listen. Or you could, any kind of, like, the mayor didn't know the pancake batter was contaminated, or he kept it secret. Whatever.
So should the paramedic guy, should he be, like, natively part of the group? You know what I mean? Like, should he be one of the friends, or should he be a little bit older and end up as part of this group by happenstance throughout the plot?
Well, you can go a couple ways. Are these guys all friends, or do they meet because of Mr. Breakfast? And, or do you want to go the route of these are all schoolmates of Mr. Breakfast? They are older now, and this is just them at later points in life.
See, now I'm picturing more of, like, because it is a slasher movie, so I'm picturing more of the teen fodder for our main group. Of course, because keep in mind, one of the main tropes of slasher movies has always been adults are stupid. Adults don't know anything. They don't believe the actual thing that's happening. It's always the teens that get involved. I mean, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Child's Play, adults are stupid. It's always that. So I feel like the main characters of, like, you know, Buddy and Teddy and Mark and maybe whoever the twins are, like, yeah, they should be, like, at least go to the same school, if not friends. Like, maybe they should be, like, the teens of the focal point for our audience, and then have, you know, auxiliary characters like the paramedic and the mayor and stuff like that, who are the adults who, you know, quote unquote, adults are stupid. The mayor's not closing down the town, but maybe the paramedic is like, you know, yeah, no, I know what's really going on, and, like, gets involved. Or do we want him to be like the older brother of one of their friends who is, like, out of school and has already become, like, a paramedic, already, you know, had taken a job and all that, so he's just, like, the older, wiser teen? Or do we want to go, like, the grizzled old medic?
Okay, so when we started laying out the characters, let me just tell you, like, where my brain went in terms of, like, how we get our group on the stage. Okay, so you mentioned, or Mike, you mentioned that this is like a pancake festival, right? It's a breakfast festival that, and I think it's right. I think it's just that the town is called Flapjack for some unexplained reason. Like, there's towns called, like, you know, Beaver Tail and Deer Kill or whatever, like strange names. And so it's just called Flapjack. And because of that, they started having a breakfast festival to bring in, like, tourist money. And of course, that's what the mayor is obsessed with. So we could just open the movie with people arriving or coming to the festival. We don't have to even explain it. It could just be open on, like, a banner across Main Street, like 35th Annual Breakfast Festival, Flapjack, Arkansas. You hear the mayor's voice over, like, a loudspeaker talking about, like, events that they've got planned for the weekend, come one, come all, and you see cars pulling in, just like you do in Jaws in that one scene. But, like, we kind of skipped directly to the start of the festivities and kind of cut out all of the preamble nonsense, because I don't see any reason for Pancake Face to start killing people until the festival starts. Like, that's kind of, like, his thing, you know, like,
yeah,
his time of year, you know. This is sort of a holiday themed, you know, slasher in that regard. So I don't think the characters should all be friends together who are like showing up together, not like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but similar, right? So I think it should be that there's a van like the one in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, big blue 70s like O'Connell line conversion van, but it's a wheelchair van, and we show one of the vehicles that's pulling up into town is Mark, the religious nut, whose job it is to drive the wheelchair van because, you know, he's got to give back to society, and he's driving Teddy, who just hired him to give her a ride, you know, into town, and she's coming there to, you know, maybe the twins are her cousins and they've invited her and she really doesn't want to go, but like, you know, her mom just died or something. And, you know, whatever, she's making some excuse to be like, fine, I'll go hang out with the twins for the weekend. So she and Mark is annoying the piss out of her, and Buddy's in the van because he just tagged along because he was just like, you know, at some church function that Mark was at and was just like, oh, there's going to be free food. Like, I want to go, I'm like, shotgun, you know, and he just fucking. So Buddy, Teddy and Mark show up together, they meet the twins, or maybe like one twin, and then like another twin just pops up like, fuck, double vision, you know, and
right.
So, and then yeah, the paramedic I think should be a little bit older, not super older, but I'm thinking so far all the characters I've mentioned I think are going to be like, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, and the paramedic I'm thinking it's a period piece made now about the 70s, so there's going to have to be like the token black guy in the movie. So I'm thinking he's a little bit older, mid-20s, maybe late 20s, like comically big afro, maybe, you know, because it's a period piece. Right. And we just have some dumb little thing that happens where there's like a little accident at the very beginning of the movie, a little teaser of action, you know, like somebody gets hurt and the ambulance shows up and this, you know, and the paramedic EMT guy is there and it's like, oh, it's no big deal. But, you know, it just Teddy and the twins just happen to be hanging around and they're like, oh, like, does this happen every year? Or like, oh, no, usually this is, you know, it's a quiet little town. This is the only time anything weird ever happens when all the people come from out of town and, you know, they get drunk on beer and maple syrup or whatever. And, you know, and the paramedic kind of gives us the backstory a little bit of like why they're there. And then maybe eventually the backstory of who Pancake Face is and you know, but I don't know yet if we know who this is. I don't know if Pancake Face, this is the first year he's ever killed anybody and this is like his debut, or if it's like a town legend. I don't know that part yet. I'm just thinking,
you know,
get our players on the stage and then we'll figure out the killer.
Any good slasher movie opens with a kill. Get your mouth wet, right?
Yeah.
You can have the paramedic be the character that's going to be like, wait a second, this somebody doesn't get their head waffle ironed accidentally.
Right.
There's something wrong here. To have the mayor be like, no, it's nothing. They slipped and fell. They got that cereal spoon jabbed into their eye accidentally. And he could be the character that's like, wait a second, no. And then be the one that believes the kids later.
I got an idea for that whole thing. I think how we can play that off that I think will be really fun. But name wise, I don't know why the name Clark keeps coming to my head. But
sure,
what do you think of the name Clark for the paramedic?
Yeah, I like it. Let's go with
black guy with an afro named Clark. Yes.
Yes.
House 70s.
I actually like the fact that our names so far kind of sound the same. We've got Buddy and Teddy and Mark and Clark.
Yeah.
But I kind of like it. Yeah.
Well, now with the twins, do we want like fraternal or identical? And do we want a girl and a boy, both girls? What do we want to go with there? Because, I mean, I think it would be fun if it was like a girl and a boy, identical twins, named something like, you know, I don't know, Angus and Agnes or something like that.
That works. Yeah, Angus and Agnes. Why not? Yeah, let's go with that. Okay, Angus and Agnes. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and Omay, to your point, I think that is a good idea that we could start with a death. It could just be, you know, I don't necessarily want to like choreograph it necessarily, but yeah, we open on some kind of a death, like in in like the Waffle House or the equivalent thereof. But yeah, let's not blow our load in the first scene, but something kind of funny, you know, like a waffle iron to the face or something like that. And then we cut back to later. And to my point, like when Buddy and Teddy and Mark show up, maybe there's some little thing, like somebody drank too much and like passed out, and Clark shows up with the ambulance and he's just like, ah, these fucking tourists. And oh, I don't mean you, you know, Teddy in the wheelchair, like you're cool or whatever. And then she's like, oh, this is a crazy festival. You guys do this every year and whatever. And they get to kind of talking, and you know, maybe Clark mentions like, oh yeah, this is nothing. Oh man, you should have seen this guy this morning with the, oh, but never mind. I shouldn't talk about that. You know, like whatever. Yeah. And
you got to have the classic killer stashed the body somewhere and you open something up and the body falls out.
Oh, that can definitely. But you know what? I have an idea for an opening. Let's just jump right in and get this ball rolling, because I feel like we now have the pieces in place. So taking what Mike said about opening with a kill, and the whole idea of is this the first time? Is this the a legend type of thing with Pancake Face? I think it should be like we open up. Let's have like, I don't know, if we just some random employee, maybe a waitress, maybe a line cook, whatever. You just see them like panicked, backed up in the kitchen, you know, screaming like, stay away from me, stay away. You don't see, it's POV shot, classic, you know, slasher movie thing. You see the person coming closer and closer and closer, and then like grab the person by the face and shove their face in a deep fryer, and then like have the gurgling and steam and all that come up, and then have like the title card come across the screen. And then we pan out to a reporter outside of like a Waffle House, like whatever the generic Waffle House is in this movie, and like talking about like a brutal murder or a brutal spree killing that took place at the local Waffle House, blah, blah, blah. You know, that, seven people were murdered before the perpetrator was taken down by the police. And then we could just see a quick glimpse of somebody like being zipped up in a body bag. So we don't even know what the killer looked like at this point.
Can I add something?
Go for it.
A scene with a waitress at a restaurant. A customer complains that they wanted their bacon extra crispy. They get pissy, give it back to the waitress. And this is the 70s, so she's got like a cigarette hanging out of her mouth and stuff. And she's like, God damn it, fucking pancakes. Goes back into the kitchen. Then you get the camera through the two eye holes and the heavy breathing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
a point of view shot, and then you get the extra crispy waitress in the fryer, and you can cut to a quick scene of burnt bacon on a plate, and then, you know, we found a restaurant, everybody's dead, what happened?
Right. Well, you know, I feel like let's save that particular joke for like when they're retelling the story. Because if we just start like, boom, cold opening with the kill, like someone screaming, stay away from me, we don't know anything that's going on, person gets head in the fryer, and then we get the quick preamble from the cops, the reporter, while the cops are taking, you know, setting up a perimeter around the restaurant. You see the paramedics taking the bodies out. Later on, when we're retelling the story, you know, we could even do like a Dark Knight thing, where every time the story gets retold, it's a little bit different, and then have it be like, you know, yeah, I heard he was a line cook that, you know, got really sick of the orders being constantly sent back, and he just fucking snapped, and be like, you know, this bacon isn't crispy enough, send it back, and have the waitress be like, you know, hey Joe, or whatever the line cook is that we call him, like they said this isn't crispy enough, and then just have like smash cut to him frying that waitress in the you know, basket, and then someone would be like, no, that's not what happened at all, I heard, you know, and then kind of change it up so we can still do that joke.
You get a lot of mileage out of not having a high body count by having characters retell the same scene
Exactly. Completely
differently over and over again. You can get them, but they get their bacon back and it's a human head.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so we open with this at some point in the past, like we don't name a time. We just see that this horrible thing happened. And then we smash cut to, like Josh said, you know, rolling in on the town with the, you know, I don't know, 10th annual pancake festival or whatever, flapjack festival. And you see people pulling into town. You see the news crews set up, interviewing people, yada, yada, yada. And then we show Mark's van pulling up, and this is where we meet Mark, Teddy, and Buddy. So I think we can get all of that in like 5 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And then, like I said, you know, once you get like Teddy out of the van, Buddy's gonna still be trying to mack on her like he had been like the whole fucking drive up there, and she's just like on her last nerve, doesn't want to talk to this guy anymore. You know, Mark is just like way too like overly positive, you know, whatever. And it's like, we can, with a little bit of dialogue, we can immediately establish Buddy, Teddy, and Mark's personalities right off the bat, and, you know, and show that Teddy is just trying to get slimy Buddy like off of him, but also, you know, she's like, shit, like, how am I gonna find my cousins in this big crowd? You know, her cousins Angus and Agnes, of course, they don't have cell phones or anything, right? So it's, and, you know, she starts scanning the crowd, we can, and you know, the camera's panning around, and we get a little bit of a shot of what's going on. There's like a, you know, there's like a waffle eating contest at a booth, and, you know, there's whatever, you know, there's
pancake bites.
Yeah, exactly. There's like little games for the kids, like roll the bagel with a stick or whatever the fuck, you know, it's just all this stuff. And
you should have like, it makes no sense, breakfast themed games like the pancake toss.
Oh yeah.
You know, or like,
you're tossing a pancake on a goldfish bowl.
Yeah, like the dunk tank, but it's breakfast.
Yeah,
throwing English muffins. Like, have, and you can, this is a great establishment. You don't have to say the '70s. You can just play '70s music and show some bell bottoms and afros.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Everybody knows.
We just we zoom in on the festivities playing Magic Carpet Ride.
Yeah, exactly. And there'll be like some fair games, you know, like where you like balance the egg on your nose. You know, again, shit like breakfast, you know, themed, like you said, right? Eggs, bacon, pancakes, whatever. I mean, it's going to be very in your face. All the decorations are basically, there's like a Mr. Breakfast face, like Mr. Breakfast from Pee-wee's, you know, Big Adventure, where it's like a pancake with like eggs for eyes and a strawberry for nose and bacon for mouth. And it's like a cartoon character that's on all the signs and the banners. And it's, you know, it's the, it's like their mascot of the Flapjack Fest. And yeah, like maybe while Teddy's looking around, scanning the crowd, then we do that thing where it's not exactly like a fake out, but it's just like suddenly, boom, like there's Agnes like standing right in front of her, like, hi. And it's, she's like, oh shit, you know, like, you scared me. Like, you don't scare me like that. And then it's like, and then obviously she's talking to her like, oh yeah, you know, whatever. And then Agnes is going to give us the backstory, mention like, oh, I'm so glad you could come. Like, oh, it's so sad about your mom. And I'm so glad you could like stay with us for the weekend. And like, isn't it great? It just happened to be the weekend when we were having the Flapjack Fest, you know? And right. It's, you know, and of course Angus, or maybe she's like, oh, Angus is around here somewhere. And, you know, maybe Angus is playing one of the games and he gets distracted and looks over and like an egg smashes on his forehead. Like, ha ha ha. You know, it's like,
right.
We do a little bit of business, and then, like I said, there's a little bit of an accident somewhere. Somebody, you know, it's like 9 a.m. and somebody's like, you know, fucking trashed on mimosas and like passes out and, you know, knocks through like a booth or something. And then Clark, maybe he's a paramedic, but maybe he's working the festival as a medic, not like in the ambulance where we have to drive his big van through the crowd. But like, he's just there with his like little medical bag, and he's like going to run over and see if the drunk girl is OK. And, you know, and that, and then, you know, Teddy's there. Maybe Mark is like, oh, let me go help. Do you need any help with that? Like, you know, I'm CPR trained or whatever. He's just way too positive.
Maybe his whole job is to walk around and give people the Heimlich because they keep choking.
Yeah, exactly,
during like the pancake eating festival.
I mean, like, they always have at these festivals, they always do have a paramedic tent. So yeah, like, so maybe, yeah, Clark runs that, like you said. And I kind of like the idea of Mark being his helper. So maybe that's the whole reason Mark is going there, is it's like one of those things where it's whatchamacallit, like volunteer services. He's like, I'm helping to give back to the community. I'm a volunteer medic this weekend, you know, and have like Clark just be like, oh, this fucking guy, like, just, you know, like, he's accepting the help because it's just him. Like, he needs some help. But at the same time, like, you know, Mark kind of rubs on his nerves, like,
you know. And of course, Mark's gonna be the kind of guy where, like, when maybe he's never met Clark before, Clark introduces himself, like, oh, hey, I'm Clark, I'm gonna be showing you around. And Mark's like, Clark, my name's Mark, like, we're brothers in the Lord, high five,
you know. He's like, I got a song I wrote about just this type of thing. Like, no, keep your guitar away.
Keeping your pants. Yeah, exactly, right. And Teddy's going to be a little world weary, a little like eye rolling. You know, she's had it tough. She's in the wheelchair. People have been, you know, pandering to her kind of whole life. So I think she's just immediately going to be the one that kind of has a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. But I think that's ultimately going to help her to survive. So it makes
sense.
So yeah, I think her and Clark are going to kind of hit it off because, you know, she's a stranger in town who thinks this breakfast fest stuff is bonkers. And, you know, Clark is the local who's just, he's just had enough of this bullshit, you know, because for him, the festival is just, oh, great. Now I get to work the weekend too. Fuck. Overtime, you know.
Great time to introduce Corey Feldman as the mayor also. Yes. Emceeing Pancake-a-thon, whatever you want to call it.
Flapjack Fest, 1977.
I can picture if it's the 70s, you'd have like a local radio station hosting it, like a WKRP DJ.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, absolutely. I'm Wolfman Jack hosting the Great American Pancake Stack Off.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we break the world record for stacking pancakes? Let's find out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. We do exactly that. Yeah. And we can have Corey Feldman, like, you know, up on the stage. Like you said, we heard his voice maybe earlier when we were doing the little montage pan around the festival and, you know, just making announcements about what's going on and like the agenda for the weekend and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then we finally pan in to see who it is. And, you know, he's a little town mayor who thinks he's a big town mayor. So he's got his hair greased back, like expensive suit, you know, all this. And he's like, he's got his whole future banked on being the mayor of like Flapjack Town, you know, like that's all he's got going for him, but he's going to ride that shit as much as he can. but you know, maybe he comes off the stage and maybe he comes over to where our characters are at the medic tent. Maybe he comes over because he's just like, yo, what the heck? It's like 9 o'clock in the morning and people are already over here getting trashed. Like, you know, get her out of here, you know, because he's trying to like, you know, save face. Like he wants good optics. He doesn't want people getting, you know, trashed and passing out in the street, you know, in front of all the tourists first thing in the morning, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, we can just have him. I don't know how much of a character we want him to be, but we have the opportunity here. If he comes over to the medic tent, you know, he can meet our main characters, you know, even if it's just like, you know, oh, hey, you know, Mayor Feldman, how's it going? You know, vote for me in the fall. Hey, Mayor Feldman, like, how's it going? You know, like, whatever. Like, he's going to start glad handing all the tourists who've come to town.
Yeah, no, I think we should definitely do the thing where it's like he gets up on the stage and announces to everybody and, you know, talk like welcome to the, I don't know, 8th annual. Let's just say it's 8th, you know, 8 years. Mm-hmm. It's the 8th annual Flapjack Fest, you know, Flapjack, Arkansas, you know, and people are cheering and all that. And we do that while we have our main characters all talking by the medical tent. And I like how you said, like, have him come over to the medical tent. Maybe it's something as simple as like, you know, there are just. You were talking about the drunk people, like maybe someone like pukes right in front of the mayor and he like goes over and he's like, dude, you got to take care of this. We can't have, you know, this. So this, we get him over with Clark. But yeah, so we do that little quick introduction. He can introduce himself to Teddy because she's a new person, like one he doesn't recognize. And it's just like, hey, Mayor Feldman or whatever we're going to call him. vote for me this fall. And like give her a button or something, just something real cheesy.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned 8th annual, and I kind of like that too, that it's a newer festival. He could even be like, you know, like, hey, I'm so glad you came up for the festival. You know, this was my idea. Like, you know, when I became mayor, I knew that this town needed something. You know, you don't have Flapjack, Arkansas without a Flapjack Fest. Am I right?
Yeah. and that's the thing. We could find out that at the first Flapjack Festival, that's when Pancake Face became a thing. You know, like he killed so many people at the Waffle House leading up to the festival, and you know, it almost ruined the town, but no, we pulled it out with this amazing festival, that type of thing. So very much like with Jaws, where it's like, no, the town relies on this. It doesn't matter that people are dying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, have a button, vote Feldog.
Yeah. Feldog.
Maybe we shouldn't actually call him Feldman, but yeah, it's kind of
funny. That is good. Although, I mean, Feldman is just a regular name, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, why not? And while we're on the topic of names, before we let's pivot into like you know, the part of the movie where we start killing people, I think the main restaurant that this is all built around, instead of being like an actual Waffle House or an IHOP, because we don't want to use those brands, and it's in Flapjack, Arizona, we're using the, you know, the alliteration of like Flapjack Fest, so let's have
Arkansas.
It's the local restaurant that's called Flapjack Franny's, you know, and it's got like a cartoon, like, you know, like an old Italian mom on the sign. You know what I mean?
Right. Nice. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Flapjack Franny's in Flapjack, Arkansas. The first thing that came to mind when you were like, let's not use the Waffle House, I was like, Pancake Hut. Like,
Well, I was trying to think of something that started with an F. Like, is there a word for house or hut or center or hub or restaurant or eatery? And I'm literally like looking up like thesaurus.com. Like, nothing with an F for like, you know, we can do like, you know, the, like it was Flapjack Focus or something, but like, no, that's stupid. And I'm like, fuck it, we'll just name it after like a person. And I don't know why I thought of this, but like in The Emperor's New Groove, when they go to that restaurant in the middle of the jungle. Right? And there's that like, you know, the old lady waitress, the older lady with like the red hair. I don't know why I'm thinking of that, because it's such a stereotype, but like that's who should be like running. That's Franny, who like runs the little local restaurant.
Nice. Well, she was the one that the namesake is there, because maybe she didn't make it past that first attack.
Oh yeah, maybe. So they have a picture of her. Yeah, again, that's another good storytelling piece. Like at some point, maybe after this whole thing, at some point, you know, Teddy's gonna go into the restaurant to like you'd use the payphone or whatever, and she's gonna see the framed picture of Franny, you know, like in memoriam, you know, on the wall.
Yeah.
And then again, be asked like, you know, what's up with that, you know, and again, like that's how we tell the audience what's going on.
Okay. So, all right, so we've introduced our characters, we've introduced the idea of the Flapjack Fest. Going to speed ahead a little bit just to kind of keep things rolling. So, yeah, so let's have, like, we have the Teddy's staying with Agnes and Angus, they're, you know, her cousins. Maybe they all, like, after the Flapjack Fest, they decide to go into town and get something to eat. And, yeah, they go to, why not, Flapjack Franny's. It's, like, the local favorite hangout spot. So they go there to get something to eat, and like maybe Freddy's like, man, you or I'm not Freddy. Teddy's like, man, you guys really are obsessed with breakfast around here, you know, just kind of like driving that point home that yes, this is the one note town that we see in all sorts of horror movies where the entire town is obsessed with one thing.
You should make a joke where she looks at the menu and there's nothing but breakfast.
Yeah,
she's like, can I have a hamburger? And they're like, what?
No, it should be like, you can have a breakfast burger. And I would be like, yeah, exactly. What is that? And they're like, well, it's two pancakes for buns, a slab of sausage, and a big old slab of scrambled eggs. And it's like, what? Where's the beef? You know, but I'm bumped.
Could I have some soup? What's your soup of the day? Cheerios?
Yeah, exactly. Are you okay with cold soup?
Well, and again, like this, you know, I'm always thinking of like, let's tell the story to the audience. So yeah, this is, so whoever it is that's sitting at this table, I'm thinking it's, you know, Teddy, Angus, and Agnes make the most sense. Maybe Buddy horned his way in there, you know, like literally he horned his way in there.
Right.
Here, because he's been like trailing Teddy around, and now Agnes too, for like no reason, you know, because he just literally like hopped in the van to get a ride and doesn't know anybody. Maybe he doesn't have any money, you know, and he's like, you know, hey, can somebody like, you know, bum me an omelet or whatever, you know?
He's that guy. Of course he's that guy.
but yeah, somebody, or maybe it's Teddy. Maybe Teddy's like, hey, didn't I, you know, like, or, you know, she asked about the picture of like Franny on the wall or whatever. And maybe Angus should be the one who is, he's really obsessed with like the dark history of the town and the restaurant and all that. But Agnes is just like, shut up, dude. Like, that was a long time ago. So Teddy should ask like, oh, like what happened, you know, to Franny? Like, you know, she looked like a nice lady. This is a cool place, whatever. And then Angus will be like, oh, it was fucking great. Like the first year we had the festival, like, you know, like they found somebody whose face was like, you know, fried in the deep fryer in the kitchen. It was awesome or whatever. And Agnes, of course, is like, ew, fucking gross, dude. Like, you know, right. And it's like, it was like, you know, whatever, like it just happened that one time. And of course Angus is like, no, it didn't. You mean one time every year, you know?
Right.
So, well, again, we can kind of tell the story of like there are deaths going on in the town, but maybe it hasn't ramped up to like a full-scale slaughter yet, but this year it will for some reason.
I think what we should do is this is the scene where we would have the fake outs, the fake memories, the false memories. So why don't we say like fuck, the whole group goes out to eat, but not together. So it's like Teddy, Buddy, and the twins. They all go to Franny, Flapjack Franny's or whatever. They go there. And then, like, maybe Clark and Mark. Like, Clark is there reluctantly with Mark. But, like, you know, after work, he's just, like, sitting there smoking, having a coffee while Mark is just, like, you know, happily tuning his guitar, waiting for his, like, you know, bowl of Cheerios or whatever. Right. And they're, like, sitting in the booth behind him and have this whole story going on where like Angus is telling us like, oh my God, it was fucking great. Like, you know, so yeah, 8 years ago before Flapjack Fest even really kicked off, you know, there was this nasty series of murders in this very place, you know, and have, you know, Agnes being like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like you're going to scare her. And I'd be like, wait, what are you talking about? And have him tell the story. Be like, so there was this line cook and blah, blah, blah. And do the whole thing about the bacon that we talked about earlier. And then have Agnes be like, that's not at all what happened. You don't know who the killer is. Nobody knows who the killer is. He was never caught. And then have like Teddy be like, what? You know, have this whole back and forth. And then have Mark lean over and be like, well, you know, that's not what I heard. I heard it was a horrible accident, that there was a fire that took place. And that's why all these people started getting hurt. And then people died inadvertently when they get trampled running out of the place. Like, it was an awful accident. And then have like, you know, Angus be like, dude, you are so fucking wrong. And just back and forth with that. And then eventually have Clark be like, actually, you're all fucking wrong. And explain, you know, he's like, you know, I actually worked. You know, I was a medic at that time. Like I was on that scene. He goes, there was like six deaths or something like that. But like between patrons and employees, there were multiple murders. And yeah, they think that they found the guy who did it. You know, he was laying dead amongst the victims. You know, maybe he had like, you know, blood under his fingernails or something from that matched like a scratch wound on one of the victims, something like that, where they think they got the guy. But have him explain the more grisly version of events and like do the flashback sequence where we see, you know, we start with the woman getting deep fried and then like maybe we pan across the restaurant and we see like a patron with their throat slit, like face down in their breakfast, something like that, like somebody under the milkshake machine with the milkshake nozzle in their mouth and just laying there bloody and covered in ice cream, you know, stuff like that. Just have a bunch of different restaurant related murders and then like pan back into the group and like Clark just takes a drag off his cigarette and everyone's like, fuck, that was dark, you know, like that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Okay. So the light bulbs are going off, which I haven't said that phrase in a long time, but light bulbs are going off. So I thought of two things that I don't necessarily want to reveal right now because we're not really jumping around like we do in some of our stories. Like we're kind of telling this chronologically. So in the interest of trying to like reveal it at the right moment, I want to hang on to it, but I figured out the secret for Clark, the paramedic who has a secret. I figured that out. And if you have an idea, cool, we can work them out together. But we need to get back to, after the first kill that we see now in present day, we got to get back to the mayor because I want to throw a bit of business in that I just thought of. So, no, I love all of this, right? So, of course, at this point, Teddy has to ask, like, how did so many people get killed? And, like, I didn't hear about this on the news or whatever, you know. And I think Agnes should be super, super like bubbly and positive. Like she's wearing pink, you know, has the most ridiculous gigantic 70s hair, you know, and she's the opposite of Angus, who's like really into all the creepy gory details. She's like a cheerleader and, you know, she just blows it off like, oh, it was like whatever, it was no big deal, it's a small town in the middle of nowhere, like they caught the guy or they think they did or like whatever, it was a long time ago, who cares, you know, like now we have the festival and it's been safe every year, there's been no problems, it's been great. And because I think it makes sense for the fact that we know that the pancake face guy has to come back from the dead. What if he was dead, he's back somehow now, and it's just years later, and now it's like the year he's going to come back to kill again. So like maybe there's a legend because of that murder, that, you know, the multi-murder, the multiple murder years ago, but there hasn't been one since. So people are kind of like, whatever, it was a fluke, you know, whatever, let it go, which I think explains why they still have this festival and there are people who don't think it's a big deal.
Right.
And people like Angus were like, that's what we should really be telling people about. Like, this town should be, you know, like a stop on like a, you know, a serial killer tour or whatever. Like, that's what he's into, because especially in the 70s, man, with like the Zodiac Killer and Ted Bundy, like there was a lot of serial killer stuff in the news. Anyway, so I think it'd be funny. Like, let's transition to a kill. So what I'm thinking is a transition away from the scene is like, all of their food shows up. So it's like, yay, the food's here. You know, waitress comes over and, you know, you see, and maybe it's a thing where you see it's Teddy, Buddy, and the twins, and they're at like a four top booth. And they're, you know, those, they have those like little like frosted glass walls like in between, and you see on the other side, those little short dividers. It's like, you know, 8 inches tall. And on the other side, you see Mark and Clark sitting at their table. And so anyway, so the waitress comes over, and of course you see Mark get like the cereal or whatever, but what I want to do is Agnes ordered the like happy face, smiley face pancake kids meal, <You know? laughs> like you get it like IHOP, where it's like, so the camera is showing, comes in from above. You see the plate of pancakes with like the whipped cream smile and like the strawberry eyes or whatever, you know, and we just pan in on that shape of that pancake, that circular pancake with the whipped cream smile. And then you blend that, you bleed that into a POV shot of somebody seeing out of a pancake mask, and now it's like nighttime, and they're gonna like they're coming around the dumpster going to the back door of the restaurant, and then like, okay, like let's get a kill in here. We've skipped time to like the end of the day. It's time for our first death on screen.
Nice. Okay. One thing I do want to point out, though, with the characters of Agnes and Angus, remember, we have to have them be inventors of something. So we can't have her be like, mm-hmm. we can't make her be the stereotypical bubblehead. Just because like she has to be smart enough to want to be inventing things.
They want to be the world. They want to make the world's greatest something.
Yeah.
I was going to say world's greatest milkshake.
Gotcha. Okay. I was taking it a different way. I get what you're going now.
No, just give them a motivation. That's all. These are so loose, these rules. If it doesn't happen, these are just creative talking points for you guys.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I didn't think of them as adventures either. I think, and again, we could throw that in there too, in their conversation, that they want to make the world's, you know, greatest, you know, blank. And it could be that they have two different, they could each have their own, you know, maybe Angus wants to make, maybe he wants to make the world's greatest, like tour guide for serial killer death places in America, you know, the America serial killer road trip guide. And, you know, and Agnes, or maybe that's it. The Agnes is like, no, we're going to make like the world's best, like, you know, silly town festival tour guide. Like we've got Flapjack Fest and then, you know, whatever town they have, like ice cream festival and, you know, garlic festival and whatever it is. And so they're kind of arguing over this book they're trying to make. That's like a tour guide thing. And Angus wants to go dark and creepy, and Agnes wants to go like, you know, fun and happy for the whole family. And
you should have the book be specifically to Arkansas. Like, let's make Arkansas seem more interesting than Arkansas actually is. So he could be like, I have hundreds of pages on the top 100 serial killers of Arkansas. And you'd be like, what?
Oh shit. Okay, yeah, no, I like that. All right. So we do that. So now you're talking about fast forwarding to the end of the day. So we have, let's have the you know, tried and true. We've seen this in 1,000 horror movies. It's the back alley at night behind the restaurant. We're gonna see the bus boy like taking the garbage out, flinging it in the dumpster. We get the POV shot and we think like, oh shit, he's gonna kill the bus boy. But no, like he doesn't. You know, the bus boy goes back inside, and before the door closes, you just see a gloved hand like grab the doorknob. And then, you know, maybe we cut inside, we see the workers closing up for the night, and he's gotta get one of them. So how do we want to dispatch, and who do we want to dispatch? Do we want to dispatch the cook? Do we want to dispatch, you know, one of the waitresses, a patron who's leaving late? You know, what do we, like, who do we want to kill? What
do you
what's
want
our fodder?
Some sort of weird rules where he only kills people who insult breakfast? Well, or do you want it to be indiscriminate?
No, I think indiscriminate is fine, but we can kind of hint at the other, at like, yeah, the people who insult breakfast. I just don't want to completely copy our Jürgen Yuletide Avenger idea either.
Where he
kills people who disrespect Christmas. But at the same time, it could be funny. Yeah, what if it's the dishwasher, and so he's got like a stack full of dishes, and some of them still have food on them, and he's smoking a joint, and he's just bitching and complaining because people keep bringing him shit to wash, and at some point, like somebody, one of the waitresses comes in with like, oh, I found this whole plate of like untouched waffles that somebody like left under the counter, and puts the waffles on like the stainless steel counter next to the dishwasher, and the dishwasher guy just like his roach is out, and he like puts his roach out and like stamps it out on top of the stack of like perfectly good waffles, and then like flings them in the trash like it was nothing. So he's kind of like being disrespectful to like, ah, fuck these waffles, right? Yep. When Pancake Face is like in the darkness, it was just like, oh no, perfectly good waffles.
And of course he could be like, the only thing I fucking hate more than waffles is pancakes. This fucking town's obsessed with pancakes. Yeah, you know, you, and it's just like, oh, you son of a bitch, now you're gonna die. So now,
instead of killing horny teens or people who break like the Catholic seven deadly sins, it's all affronts to breakfast.
How dare you affront
breakfast? Really mad. You threw out perfectly good waffles
and insulted pancakes, you dick.
I don't know if at all or when we want to reveal this, but it would be funny if like the reason he went on his initial murder spree, the festival didn't exist yet, right? So Fanny was sick of being like the all breakfast all the time restaurant, and she was gonna like change the model to be like a Greasy Spoon burger and fries place, and like the dude who was like, you know, the line cook at the time, he just like, he couldn't bear that effrontery, you know, like, how dare you. So he like kills Franny and everybody else in the restaurant. He's like, this place is going to serve breakfast forever, god damn it.
Oh, God. So I think, now I don't know how we want to do this, but the death I'm picturing is fun. Now, you know how a lot of places will serve like hot syrup for pancakes and waffles?
Mm-hmm.
So now we need to get that. We need to get syrup to like a boiling point. So maybe like while this is happening, we could see like, you know, the coffee, like the little hot plates that they keep coffee crafts on at restaurants. Mm-hmm. What if we see like someone behind the cook take the coffee pot off and put a carafe of syrup on there?
Yes.
And well, just like, it's like bubbling in the background while he's bitching about breakfast.
Yeah. Do you want a quick aside from one of the characters? It'll make no sense, but just be like, hey, you boiling the syrup for tomorrow? Yep, no problem, Carl. Craft of hot yeah. syrup. If yeah, you stop exactly. to think about it, be like, why, what?
Right, like, I mean, you know. Either way it works, but I think it's also funny to just see, like, in the foreground, mm-hmm. just a hand reach into panel, move the coffee pot off, yep. and then yep. put, like, a thing of blueberry syrup or something on there instead, and have yep. the cook just be like, you know, listen to his music, being like, I fucking hate this town, like, I'm gonna get out, I'm moving to California, fuck Arkansas, like, just bitching the whole time, and then, like, we see, like, the blueberry syrup bubbling. You know, and then just a hand reach into frame and take it, and then have the whole like the POV come up behind the line cook or the busboy, you know, and he turns around, like, you know, tap on the shoulder, turn around, bam, shattered hot blueberry syrup to the yeah. face, and of course the close up of him like pulling his sticky hands away from his face as flesh is peeling back, like, like just.
It's that like oh yeah blueberries.
Right, and like of course we're gonna have like the horror movie bladder blisters, like the blisters that are pulsating.
Yeah.
He's just like, ah, ah, like melting, and it just happened.
Biocop from Psycho Goreman.
Right? I was gonna say, picture the murder in Basket Case where Belial kills the one doctor by shoving her face into a drawer full of scalpels, and she like pops up.
Yeah.
Right, when she pops up on the screen and she's like, blah, 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 just like screaming. And like, I'm picturing that only with blueberry syrup.
Yeah, yes. Well, and you mentioned too, like smashing the carafe. It should definitely be a glass carafe so we can see through it to see what's inside of it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, not only is he like bubbling and boiling, but there's like shards of glass all stuck to his face and his hands. And
have you guys ever seen A History of Violence?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I love that opening fight scene where Viggo Mortensen smashes the coffee carafe.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Isn't it Stephen McCaddy gets it right over his face?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. It just, I always think that how...
It's been a while since I've seen that, but that's a great movie. But yeah, no, I feel like, you know, and the death scene should be just that simple. Like, you see the lingering close-up as his skin is, like, peeling, and he's, like, screaming, and then just, like, falls out of frame. Like, we linger, like, a couple beats too long. Like, where the actor is kind of doing that thing of, like, do I keep screaming? So he's like, and then, like, falls out of frame.
Oh, yeah. So now we need to find out, like, how is, like, Teddy and, you know, the audience, like, finding out, like, what the aftermath is. So it could be cool if we cut from here to, you know, Teddy is out on the porch or the outside the house of where she's staying with the twins. And, you know, maybe Angus is, like, having a smoke and she's just chilling. And then they see, like, the ambulance, you know, fly by. And, of course, Angus is like, what the hell is Clark still doing up this late? What's going on? And, you know, and they're looky-loos. And, you know, they head off. And maybe it's just, like, down the street a little bit from the restaurant. And the point is, like, they go over there and it wouldn't be realistic for our main characters to just be in the middle of the crime scene. But because it's a movie, you know, they're over there,
right.
You know, and of course, you know, they're loading the body out, you know, under the sheet or whatever into the back of the ambulance. And, you know, Teddy's going to roll up and be like, yo, what happened? You know, and Clark is, you know, don't worry about it. Like, I'll tell you about it tomorrow. Let's get out of here. Like, he doesn't want to, you know, say anything.
Well, let's look at this with the characters we've established with a character like Angus, who is obsessed with serial killers, the 100 greatest serial killers of Arkansas. You know, he's obsessed with that. Of course he would have a fucking police scanner.
Oh, so okay, sure.
It's the 1970s. Everyone had a fucking police scanner back then. That was entertainment. So yeah, like, yeah, we'll have, maybe they're sitting out on the porch, like, you know, having a cigarette, and we see the cop cars and, like, a paramedic go flying by, and Teddy be like, I wonder what the hell's going on, and have Angus get all excited and, like, run off, and then come back out onto the porch with his police scanner, and, nice, like, have them sitting there listening to it, and just, like, get a report of, like, you know, a murder found at Franny's Flapjack, or Flapjack Franny's, what are we calling it? I forget now. Flapjack Franny's.
Yeah.
Flapjack Franny's. So yeah, we have them like, holy shit, you know, like there was a murder, like, and have, like, you know, Angus, of course, getting all excited, and Agnes, like, lean over to Teddy and be like, I promise this doesn't happen all the time. You know,
yeah, exactly. Like,
so then we can smash cut to, like, the next day at the festival, like the first day when they all showed up was, like, they were setting up for the festival and some of the locals were there and stuff, but it wasn't like the big grand opening. And, like, the next day will be, like, the Saturday morning grand opening, the whole town is there, like, people are coming in from out of town, all that. But we could smash cut to them at the festival talking to Clark and being like, dude, what happened at Franny's last night? And have him be like, you know, maybe he says something like, I don't know, I was off duty at that point. Like, I haven't heard yet, you know, okay. So we don't know the exact details. So, like, as the audience, we know, but the characters are trying to figure it out. So they're not on high alert yet. They're like, is it true that there was a murder, you know, and have him be like, I don't fucking know. And keep in mind, it's the 70s. There was no internet. So it's not like now where there's a fucking shooting and 5 seconds later it's on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no one knows yet except for, you know, whoever was in that ambulance. And or maybe Clark can mention that. He's like, oh, I was off duty and, you know, Billy was on, like, let me go ask him. And then Clark walks off. So I haven't told you guys yet, but for, like, the paramedic with the secret, like, you know, Clark knows more than he's letting on. So, but let's get Clark out of there. Like, Clark's gonna be like, oh yeah, I'll go ask him. I'll get back to you. I'll let you know what's going on. But it's like, it's obvious he's making an excuse because he wants to leave the conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Like one of those painfully obvious moments where he's just like, I don't know. Let me go talk to somebody and just, like, scoots off. So it's like, what's up his ass type of thing.
And then you have the rest of them now. And of course, Agnes is going to be like, well, you know, nothing we can do about it. But guys, it's, you know, Flapjack Fest. It's Saturday. Like, this is going to be amazing. And, you know, and of course, you know, then Mayor Feldman comes out and is like, all right, good morning, Flapjackers, you know. And
right.
And let's have a little bit of, like, a lighter moment right after we just had a death. But OK, so pausing the story for a second, just thinking about, like, the structure, how we're going to, like, get through this weekend. So we had the little Friday preview the big festival on the Saturday. If there's anything like a convention, there might be like a Sunday, or it might just be that Sunday is the day when everyone's like tearing down, getting out of the way, getting the town back to normal ahead of the Monday morning, you know, start of business. So depending on how we want to have the festival, we basically have Saturday to do most of what we want to do in this movie, with killing any other fodder characters and start picking off our named characters. If Teddy's going to be the final girl, you know, we have a couple other characters we got to start picking off. And it would actually be kind of interesting if we were doing it in like broad daylight with a whole shitload of people around. Like, that's a fun idea. So I think we should, I definitely want to have Teddy get real suspicious. I have a conversation with the mayor that I want to have, but let's have at least one more death that Teddy finds out about or sees, and then she's going to go find the mayor to be like, we need to shut this shit down. Like, she's going to Chief Brody the conversation to the mayor. So let's do another death, and then we'll do the mayor. What do you think?
Okay. Well, before we do any of that, one thing I want to throw in there early on, like right after Clark runs off to go talk to, you know, whoever was on shift last night. We could have them all talking about the possibility of a murder, like what they heard on the police scanner, and have them all listening to it, and have maybe Angus makes a comment, like he looks at Agnes and he's like, it's fucking Pancake Face, I'm telling you, it's Pancake Face. And she's like, that's an urban legend, you're an asshole, like that kind of thing, like go back and forth. And then this is where we could put the idea in Buddy's head of like, oh, what's Pancake Face? So we can have some pranks a little later on. But yeah, no, I'm totally down for another couple of deaths, really. Yeah. I think what we should do is we should have like montage moment of the festival, you know, at like just kicking off and every like we'll do the mayor intro, like you said, have him welcome everyone to Flapjack Fest, and then just kind of do like the montage around the festival. You guys were talking about like stupid games and stuff, like, you know, we could have like a dart throwing contest where they have to like throw it at like, I don't know, sunny side up eggs or something like that, just stupid shit. And just, like the pancake ring toss, but it, you know, you're tossing a pancake onto a fishbowl to win a goldfish. You know, stuff
knocking
like
fishbowls over
exactly
fish
with fucking pancakes.
Exactly. And they have to have like a donut eating contest, you know, and
oh yeah, there's oh god, no, there's,
you gotta
there's
have a scene with sausages on strings and people blindfolded trying to get the sausages.
Yes, but not a like our eating contest, it should be like a bunch of big dudes, like, and it's a syrup drinking contest, because that's just fucking disgusting.
Like, I still cringe at Super Troopers.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Me too.
Have them just being like chug, chug, and these guys are just like, blah, blah, like syrups running down their jaw onto their like dirty 1970s white T-shirts.
Exactly. Oh, it would be so funny if like, let's put, like, if Agnes is in the contest and she wins, like while these guys are all like passing out and she's just chug, 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 not a drop spilled. And when she's done, she just does a little supermodel like pose to the camera, big like flashing, you know, white teeth smile, like I did it. I won.
Yes. she's like the pixie person who can survive on so much sugar. Exactly. Like we all know that type of person that could just eat sugar constantly.
Oh yeah, that's my sister-in-law. Literally, yes. When I the summer the moment I met her, she had like a family-sized bag of Skittles that she was hefting around, that she ate the whole bag that like that day that I met her. Like, and then the whole rest of the summer, it was like I didn't see her without like a sack full of candy.
That, you know, Kara used to be like that too with candy. Like she could, I don't know how the hell she slept. Like she would eat so much sugar and just be like totally normal. Like, I couldn't do it. I'd have that sugar shock, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, evil Keebler elf.
Yeah, right. Okay, so yeah, let's have the, like you said, let's have the little montage, and then let's actually stick, I think it'd be fun to stick a death in our montage, almost like no one notices it. You know, like while we're playing some awesome, you know, 70s song, some like, you know, Southern rock song or something. And
I'm sorry. Okay. There's this TikTok account that I follow. I cannot remember the guy's name, but he does cooking videos. And okay. He'll be like smiling at the camera. Like, let's say he's making eggs, right? He'll like, we'll see him crack the egg into the pan, like smiling at the camera. Then the camera will go like, and it'll make like this weird sound. And you'll see like worms and blood in the pan with the eggs. God. And then it'll cut back to like him just cooking normal. And then it'll make that sound again. He's like chewing fake teeth or something. Like, it's just like this weird, grotesque moment in a normal moment. So I'm picturing like what you're saying is have the montage where you got a nice 70s song playing. And then just for like literally a second, we just have like a weird like kind of sound and see like someone getting their throat slit in a crowd or something, you know, just like weird couple of deaths popping up in the montage. I fucking love that idea because we can just play it off like blink and you miss it. And then, you know, it's like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Like, you're slipping not only a kill into, like, you're not doing the surprise kill scene that's popular in so many slashers. You're literally putting a kill right out there in the open, but pretending like it's not even happening, like pretending like it's totally normal. And I fucking love that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I love the idea of the, having like the little like audio cue, like just briefly, like a half a second or something. But yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing where you see some people who are like playing a game and some guy just kind of like stumbles, you know, like drunken on syrup or something. You know, he stumbles over to like throw up and then looks up and it's just like, you know, spork in the eye or whatever. Or like you see the one of the waitresses like go up behind Flapjack Franny's to like, you know, smoke a cigarette. And again, it's, you know, I can't keep thinking of the breakfast related deaths, but it's like, I don't know if we want to have any dialogue here, but her face would be like, what are you doing here, honey? And then bam, dead, you know, and it's then like, but in the middle of this like happy scene showing people having fun playing games and like, maybe they're like, you know, dancing around, you know, there's like a beer tent and like, you know, the bikers are like, you know, they're like clinking toasts with their steins with like the women's auxiliary or whatever, you know, it's like at Flapjack Fest, like everybody gets along, you know, except there's just people dropping like left and right on like the edge of the crowd.
I feel
like, don't you have the whole town so obsessed with breakfast? They do not want to see the murders that are happening.
That could be like the explanation for it is that they just don't want to believe what's happening. But I love the idea of just like, you know, the death in a crowd, only because how many times have you been in a crowd and something happens and it isn't until someone yells something that you realize, oh shit, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times, like I remember at Warped Tour being there, being in a big crowd, tons of people around, and then hearing people yell, but you know, like people are yelling all over the place. And then suddenly it's like, oh wait, shit, something's actually wrong. There was a girl that passed out due to heat exhaustion. And like, that's the thing that's popping into my head is this, like, nobody actually noticed this girl passing out except for the people that were immediately around her. So it's just that scary idea of bad shit can happen in a crowd and you could be completely oblivious to it. And that's kind of terrifying. But so like, yeah, I love this idea of like, you know, we could have we could start it off with the woman going like around back behind one of the tents to have a cigarette and then just have maybe we could even do something as simple as like we see like a gloved hand grab her by the throat and her eyes get big and her cigarette falls out of her mouth. And then like we could have a scene where we see like a guy getting ready to go in an outhouse and he opens the door and there's a shadowy figure already standing in there. And then the door closes and the thing shakes back and forth. And then we could ramp it up and have this is the death I keep picturing in the back of my head, is have like, you know, the different booths and have like, you know, Ted's bacon, you know, John's breakfast sausage, you know, that kind of thing. But then like pan around the side of the tent and just see a guy, like we don't see the killer. We just see a guy who's being held by his hair and by his neck and sausages are just all jammed in his throat. And he's like, it's just like choking on breakfast sausages.
Oh man, yeah. Oh yeah, and I don't know why, but at some point, I think somebody should be drowned in the restaurant in like a tub of oatmeal.
Yes.
I'd love a gag where a kid's pouring a box of cereal, and his prize is some sort of leftovers from a victim.
Oh, it's got to be like an eyeball or something.
Fingers or eyes, and he, you know, because you're not going to ruin Breakfast Fest. The kid's like, like Police Academy 1. Spoons the eyeball out of its Frosted Flakes and tosses it and keeps eating.
Oh, yep. God. That's
or whatever, you know, like funnel cake that they get at the Breakfast Fest.
A fucking cat turd scene in Police Academy. Jesus Christ. That scarred me for so many years.
Sometimes I just think about that scene and laugh.
It's so gross. Oh, dude. Okay. I still to this
day. How many
day,
times do I got to tell you? In the box.
Dude, still to this day, like, if I'm eating, like, Cocoa Krispies or Cocoa Puffs, I think of that scene and I'm like, no.
Okay. Okay, so let's ramp up the ante in terms of the deaths and the story right here. Because we're probably, what, half an hour, 40 minutes into this movie?
Yeah.
So let's do this.
In the herd.
Let's have Angus be one of these people who is just sort of randomly killed. But this is going to be the end of our montage, the end of the sequence. And I'm not sure how, but what I'm thinking is that, like, Teddy sees Angus. Well, maybe she's wheelchairing around, like, lost the friends, and she sees Angus, and she's going to go wave at him. But Angus is, like, he sees something, and he goes around a corner, like, he was, like, he saw something, somebody he recognized or whatever. And then Teddy sees, like, him get dragged behind a building. Like, she sees his, like, shoes get dragged behind a building. And so she's freaked out. Like, what the fuck's going on? And she'll, you know, she's going to wheel herself over there as fast as she can. And she turns the corner, and she sees Angus is, like, dead, blood on the ground. But before she can, like, you know, she turns around, maybe she goes to, like, scream or whatever, and then fucking Pancake Face, like, comes out of the woods and is like, booga, 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 and she fucking screams and freaks out, falls over at, like, her wheelchair, like, falls over, like she crashes it. But then it's like fucking Buddy takes a pancake, yep, off his face and is like, oh, I'm so sorry, my bad, lady, you know, like, oh geez, like, let me help you up, blah 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 blah. And he's such a douchebag, he's like trying to cop a feel, and she's just like, fucking get off me, you piece of shit, like, fucking Angus, like, what's, and he's like, Angus, like, wait, who's Angus, and what are you talking about, you know, fucking Buddy's a dumbass. So she was trying to go find out what happened to her friend that she clearly saw, like, dead on the ground with, like, blood. Dumbass, mm-hmm, comes out for his stupid prank. By the time she gets herself picked up, and she's trying to go over where Angus was, and it's fucking gone, like, there's just, like, blood on the ground. So now she's like, fuck this place, like, I'm out.
Well, do we want to kill off Angus so quick? Only because, like, if he's the one that, like, knows about serial killers and stuff, do we want to take him out right away?
I mean, maybe. It could be Mark, maybe. I mean, Mark's a dick, you know?
Right.
I don't want to kill Clark yet. I don't want to kill Agnes yet. I think she's fun. And we need Buddy for this prank. So, but it should be somebody that Telly cares about.
If you kill him first and she goes to the mayor, he could be like, yeah, he's probably off on one of his serial killer expeditions. It happens all the time because you need that plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that makes sense too. Teddy just saw someone that she knows and cares about, her cousin, just get killed. She thinks that's what she saw. Fucking Buddy fucked it up, so she didn't really, like, see what was going on. But then she's gonna go, you know, she's gonna, like, run away from where Buddy is, like, gotta find some help. And she just happens to see, like, you know, there's the mayor, you know, maybe he's, you know, smoking a cigarette or whatever. Like, she sees the mayor and she's just like, oh, I'm so glad I found you. Like, whatever. She's like, my friend, like, my cousin, like, I swear he just got killed, like, over here. Like, you got to, like, tell people, like, you got to, like, send everybody home. You know, she's doing that whole thing. And, of course, the mayor is like, yo, calm down. It's okay. Whatever he's saying. And, you know, he's gonna like, you're being hysterical. Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you saw? I'm not gonna, you know, do all the dialogue, but basically, like, she's trying to convince him this festival is dangerous. We know you had murders here years ago. I swear I just saw somebody get murdered. You know, Clark's acting real fucking suspicious. Something happened last night. We heard it on the police scanner. Like, you got to get all these people out of here. You got to tell them to go. And of course, you know, Mayor Feldman's like, you're imagining all of this. Like, you're crazy, right? You know, but she's going to be like, well, screw you, I'll tell people myself. And then that's when he's going to, like, lean over, grab her, you know, grab the arm of her chair, stop her. And he's going to be like, okay, listen, you little bitch, like, you ain't going to ruin this for me. You know,
right?
And this is when he's like, I started this goddamn festival. They had those murders at that, you know, restaurant, and people started moving away, and this town was dying. I started this festival so to, you know, to distract people so that we would be known for the Flapjack Fest and not the, you know, breakfast murders at
the Flapjack Massacre.
Exactly. Like, you know, exactly. Now we're the town that has the Flapjack Fest, not the Flapjack Massacre. And I did that. Like, people forgot about it. And now all the people who live here, you know, can go about and have a peaceful life. And this town can grow. And, you know, we bring in the tourists and we bring in jobs. And I did that. So you're not going to fucking ruin this because you thought you saw something, you know, Miss Out of Towner.
I think there should be a few things that happen here. We already saw the montage of, you know, deaths happening in and around the festival. I definitely like the idea. Now, once you guys kind of packaged Angus's death in a more palatable way for me, where we can still, you know, do the plausible deniability, like you were saying, Mike. I like that idea of, like, maybe we see Angus, like, standing, you know, over by, like, the outskirts of one of the tents or something. Like, maybe he's having a cigarette or whatever. I can't remember. Did you say he was smoking, Josh? I can't remember.
I didn't specify. I said that he, like, saw something and, like, walked around the corner.
Okay, yeah. So, like, yeah, so we see him get taken. We do the whole prank with Buddy and all that. Have Teddy freak out. I think one more thing that we should have in here. I honestly think we should take out Mark during this scene as well. And the thing that I was thinking for him is have him be like, he's like, we're seeing a POV shot. So we're seeing him talking to somebody and have him be like, oh man, I'm so glad you wanted to talk about the Lord, and have him like, kind of like walking away from the festival, and then have him be like, you know, I have a little song about this very thing, and like sling his guitar around and start like tuning it and like, like doing that thing. And then have like, we just see, and then we just see like a fucking fork like stab him in the eye, just like, and then Mark just going on like, ah, why, you know, just getting fucking stabbed repeatedly in the face with a fork. You know, so we can see like two of our main characters have just gotten taken out by somebody in pretty violent ways. So we can do the whole thing that you said with the mayor, you know, have him be like, you know, threatening Teddy, be like, you know, you're not going to ruin this for me. Maybe she doesn't only see Agnes, maybe like, or Angus, maybe she comes across one of the other bodies too. Like maybe she you know, rolls up, she sees Angus, you know, Buddy freaks her out, does that whole thing. Then she doesn't see the body of Angus, and she's like looking around for Angus. Okay. And maybe she goes over to the porta potty and like she sees, you know, one that's you know, the door is ajar, and she's like, hello, anyone in there? Is like, Angus, are you in there? And like opens it, just sees like a dude like with a fucking purple face because he was choked out, like sitting on the couch, like, oh Jesus. And
you want her to be the only person that's paying attention because she's out of town.
Exactly.
To see, just, she catches the montage of death and destruction, like, while everybody else is just, oh, I'm going to drink maple syrup.
Right. She's seeing some of it, and she tries to tell the mayor and like the security guards or whatever, is like, you know, I saw this body, and like, I think my cousin was killed. Now I can't find him. And like, she's freaking out, and have, you know, Feldman, you know, Feldog, like, take her aside and be like, you know, you ain't going to ruin this for me, you little bitch. Like, do that whole thing. Like, you want to wash my back? And just kind of, sorry, that has to come up in like every podcast now.
You know, who's going to believe her then?
Who's that?
Paramedic.
Ah, this is true. Yeah. So she's gonna, you know, she's gonna get thrown out, and she's gonna like be freaking out, and maybe like Agnes doesn't even know Teddy was thrown out yet. So like, you know, she's still having fun at the festival. Like, you know, she just won the syrup drinking contest. Maybe we could see her. She's doing like the fried egg eating contest. Like, oh, can you imagine just shoveling fried eggs in your mouth like over and over? Like, oh God, after two, I'd get sick. But like, I could just picture like people like yum, yum, just downing eggs. And of course she's winning again. There's like, you pan across, there's all these like fat schlubs with like yolk on their face, and she's like all prim and proper with a clean plate again.
I know, it's like, how does Agnes keep winning all these like eating contests? Like, where is she putting it, you know? Oh, it's funny. So I definitely think that Teddy should go off, and she's either going to go off because she's like, screw this place, I want to leave, or she's going to go off and find someone else who's going to listen to her. And I feel like it's probably more, you know, the latter. She's going to find someone who's going to listen to her. So yeah, maybe going off and finding Clark is the right thing. So, you know, we've seen Angus and Mark so far get killed. She knows that there's something going on, so she's going to go and she's going to try to find Clark. Or maybe she sees Agnes up on the stage, like you said, and she's like, okay, so I can't talk to Agnes because she's up there, you know, slurping eggs. You know?
Oh, God. Slurping eggs.
Oh, God. And, you know, and at this point, Buddy is just, like, open for the next kill scene, you know. But, yeah, so maybe she's going to go find Clark, and, you know, she goes and she finds him, and, you know, Clark, like, you got to help me. Like, the mayor won't listen, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, you know, Clark's like, calm down. Like I can't talk to you about this right now. Like, hang on, I'm working, you know. And again, it's like, why is he avoiding this conversation? Like, every time something comes up, he's just like, I ain't got time for this. And it's, I think it should be clear if the actor cast is a good enough actor that he cares and he's a cool guy, but there's something going on that's making him want to avoid talking about it. So yeah, maybe he goes off and Teddy's just like not having any more of this. Like, no way, no fucking way. No one is going to, you know, push me aside again. First it was, you know, Buddy knocking me over, and then the mayor blew me off. So like, fuck this. Like, you know, Clark, you're going to talk to me. And, so, you know, she's going to follow him off to the side somewhere. So they can have a private conversation, catch up to him and be like, you know, look, motherfucker, like, tell me the truth. What's going on? Like, I saw, you know, Angus get killed. Like, I've seen there's other shit happening. There was these murders years ago that no one ever seems to talk about. No one thinks it's a big fucking deal. Angus was the only one who cared. Like, what is the secret in this goddamn town? And I think it's as simple as Clark is just like, you know, look, drop it, okay? Just drop it. Like, don't worry, forget it. Like, you're not from here. You don't know how things are. Like, just, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just let it go. Like, we'll take care of it. And I don't know if we want to do this here, or maybe the mayor comes over. But, you know, basically the secret here is that Clark's a good dude, except the mayor is paying everybody off, including Clark, paying them off to keep their mouth shut, at least until the festival is over. And so, you know, that's Clark's secret, is that, like, he's on the take, and maybe he's got a good reason for it. Maybe he doesn't, you know, but he's feeling real conflicted because he wants to say something, but at the same time, like, he took the mayor's money and he feels like, you know, it's, if we can just get through the weekend, it's going to be fine. Like, I need this money, you know, whatever it is. Maybe he's got some, you know, his wife's in the hospital, or, you know, he's behind on the mortgage, or whatever it is. Like, he can't just, you know, blab the secret and ruin everything, because, you know, he needs the money just as much as, like, the rest of the town does.
Can I make one small suggestion for a background joke?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you want to rewind 10 minutes to the montage of the festival, it would be very funny if there were Sawyer's breakfast sausages with the cook. That's never explicitly explained, but people are eating people.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely one of those jokes you have to put in there. So have the if it was filmed when he was still alive, actually have the actor who played the cook. That would be fucking awesome. But
you make the rules.
Yeah, have Sawyer, you know, Sawyer's family sausages or whatever. And I think that we should do that pan by right before we see the dude choking on a handful of sausages, like nah, 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 like right behind the tent, you know. So I definitely like that. And it's funny that you mentioned that's Clark's secret, because that is a completely different secret than where I was going with it. Okay. So
what was yours?
Yeah, what are you thinking?
I was honestly thinking that he was the killer.
Oh, okay.
See, because what I was thinking is that maybe Pancake Face isn't actually back from the dead. Maybe it's a legacy character. You know, it's something like Scream, where it's like these murders took place, you know, and then they thought they solved it. And then a couple years later, more murders took place and they thought they solved it. And then a couple years later, he returned, that mm-hmm. type of thing. But it's like, it's a different person.
Okay. Well,
that's kind of where I was going, but I don't mind. I don't hate what you're doing with that. So I'm cool with going with that.
Well, there's no reason why we couldn't do both. In fact, doing both, I think, is interesting, because now we have a fake out right in the middle of our movie, halfway through, when we think we revealed the secret. Like, Clark's like, you know, or maybe the mayor comes over and he's just like, don't say a goddamn word. Like, I paid you good money. And, you know, Teddy's like, paid you for what? And then, you know, Clark fesses up that, you know, he's on the take. And maybe all of that is true. While at the same time, Clark does turn out to be the killer because, yeah, he was taking the mayor's money, but he was still killing people. And the mayor didn't know about that. You know, he wasn't
right.
He wasn't going to tell anybody because why would he tell people about his own murders? But like, yeah, he'll take them. He'll take the mayor's money. But it's also going to throw Teddy off the scent because now she's not going to suspect him because the only thing that she thinks of him is, oh, now you're just crooked. Like, screw you. You can't help me. Like, I got to go find someone else. I got to go find Agnes and get a ride out of this town and go find the sheriff or whatever. You know,
Clark, the black paramedic with the giant afro, who also has a pancake over his face while he kills people. That won't be a giveaway.
Well, we have yet to see Pancake Face. We've only seen POV shots.
Okay. Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. I was making sure to only do POV shots for that very reason.
Yeah, because I'm down for it.
I was like, no, we want to make it. And remember, he had a gloved hand, so we never saw the color of his skin. We never saw anything, so there's no giveaways. It was gloved hand, POV shots. Yeah. And when anytime we've talked about Pancake Face, it's been in a bad memory or bad story about Pancake Face. So, of course, it could look like anybody in the story. Mm-hmm. You know, it could look like Danny DeVito in the story. And fuck, I think we should have it look like Danny DeVito in the fucking story. Yeah. Like, one of them be Danny DeVito, another one be Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, like, have, you know, the one version of the story be like, yeah, he was this grubby little fucker, you know, and he hated breakfast, whatever. And it's like, or he loved breakfast so much that, you know, he hated anytime anyone didn't want to eat breakfast. And we see, like, the Danny DeVito, like, I'm the trash man kind of guy come out. And then, like, you know, we have the big imposing Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're like, no, that's not what happened at all. You know, I heard that it was so-and-so, you know, the crazy line cook, and just see like this buff Arnold Schwarzenegger, like with a do-rag, smoking a cigarette and like stubble all over his face. Like, I fucking hate sausages, you know, just like something like that. And then just have him like wearing the pancake face and murdering someone with a cleaver. But then just like every time we tell the story, it's a different person.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I think that when we finally do get to the reveal, it's like, oh, of course, why not?
And like, you know, it doesn't also have to be like a big giant like comical afro either. Like, yeah, it could just be that, you know, he had an afro, but you know, it was pretty common too to have short ones, you know, where the hair is like an inch long. But you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, again, where it looks like he's got like an eight ball on his head, you know.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be the cartoonish afro. I mean, just it's, you know, it was a common hairstyle back then. Yeah. Like the fade was a common hairstyle in the 80s, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So from here, yeah, let's have Teddy like roll off in a huff. She's going to get out of there. She's going to grab Angus and be like, look, you know, take me to the sheriff, you know, and maybe we need to throw a line of dialogue in somewhere. And maybe Angus says this earlier about how, you know, oh yeah, they're listening in on the police band and they hear about the murder at the restaurant. Maybe Angus says something like, you know, oh damn, well, you know, like the sheriff is, you know, he's stationed over in like Rockville, like it's going to take him like 15 minutes to even get here, you know. And that basically just established the fact that this is a pretty small town. They might have like a couple of constables, but they don't really have like a full-on police force, just to kind of take out, you know, that element a little bit. But I think Teddy should still grab Agnes, try to find somebody, some deputy, and of course, you know, or maybe the deputy she finds is like, you know, drenched in syrup because he was in the syrup eating contest and now he's like puking in a trash can somewhere, you know.
Just picture the deputy horking up blueberry syrup, like blah, 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 just fucking vomiting, like just that comical like spray. Yeah. Where you can tell the hose is next to the actor's face. Yeah, exactly. Just like spraying it,
or it's like in a sleeve, like a do like an SNL, you know. And yeah. Well, yeah, that'd be funny too. Yeah, if Agnes, maybe she takes Teddy over, like, what's going on? Like, oh yeah, you know, the deputy, whatever, you know, deputy Sam, you know, here he's right over here. And then maybe Sam's like, oh hey Agnes, like I had fun on our date last week. Wah! You know,
it's like... just a shower of blueberry vomit. Yeah.
So he's like, again, so he's no help, right? So we kind of, again, to kind of take the element out. But I think what we get here is at some point we have to, at nightfall, we have to have like a big, like, you know, showdown at like, you know, Flapjack Franny's when we finally get our big reveal and all that. So between now and then, we have deaths and we have like, you know, a panic in the crowd. And I think, I think that those are kind of like the big pieces that are left.
So this is one of those all day festivals. I imagine them having like little carnival rides and stuff, you know, like they would have like the Ferris wheel, but it would be themed, right? Like, you know, maybe there would be like the pancake face kind of, or the breakfast, Mr. Breakfast type thing, like painted on the side of the Ferris wheel or Ferris wheel, something like that. You have, you know, the little like salt and pepper shakers and all those types of rides. So as darkness falls, we're going to kick on the carnival lights, have the rides going. Maybe there's like a little music festival, like you got some kind of jug band singing about breakfast, just like all sorts of random shit. So we can get a few more kills and we could have like Agnes and Teddy trying to figure out what's actually happening. Like, you know, where's Angus? Like, what's going on? Where's Mark? You know, why is Clark acting so weird? You know, what's the history of this little town? Like, you know, Teddy's starting to get like she goes into investigative final girl mode where, you know, they have to investigate the town secret and blah, blah, blah. So maybe they go back to Angus and Agnes's house. And like, you know, Agnes is just like, you know, Angus, are you home? Like, where is he? And like, because she doesn't believe what Teddy saw. Like, she thinks, oh, it's just, you know, Angus running off doing something stupid again. But we could have here, like, Teddy goes into Angus's room and like finds his giant binder of serial killer clippings of all the serial nice. Killers of Arkansas. And maybe like. She notices, like, she sees, like, all these different stories about murders surrounding breakfast, which is a sentence I never thought I would say. But, yeah, like, she notices, like, you know, wait a second, you know, it happened in, like, you know, 1968, and then it happened again in 1970, and in 71, and then in 72, you know, and then you guys started this festival, and, like, what the hell's going on with this town? Like, you know, like, why are there so many breakfast-related murders? Like, which is just such a fucking stupid hook.
You know, well, like, it's the cliche library microfiche.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
You could have something even more sinister that Clark is working for the mayor and they're making sacrifices to some sort of pagan breakfast god. So they have a successful breakfast crop. And that's why he keeps telling them to shut up about it. So
every year somebody has to.
Yeah. Somebody has to don the flapjack mask. And meet the quota to sacrifice, like, he who hides behind the flapjacks.
You know what? You're on to something. I don't want to go with the breakfast harvest, but you just gave me a really good idea. So what if we do play around with that? Let's play in that world for a second. It's not they're sacrificing to a pagan god. But what if it's simply something like a stonemason's cult? Like, it's this group that run the town, but they have this thing where it's like, you know, so many people have to be sacrificed. Like, that's just part of their personal belief, like whatever their pagan belief structure is, mm-hmm. you know, is they have to sacrifice so many people. So, yeah, maybe it is a mantle that gets donned by so many different people throughout the town. And maybe it's something as simple as like, you know, they're forced to do it. Like, this person is chosen to be, you know, pancake face this year, you know, and they're forced into it. They're like, if you don't do it, we'll kill your family. Like, something like that, where it's just a wacky reason for a serial killer.
I mean, you could just briefly touch upon it at the reveal.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Clark could be like, they make me do it. You don't understand.
Yeah. I didn't want to do it. And then, okay. Oh, I'll save it.
I drew the short sausage.
Well, they make you pull a Jimmy Dean pack. It's terrible.
Well, and let me point out too that like we don't necessarily have to reveal everything about the backstory. I mean, think of like, you know, Halloween and stuff. Like they gave you enough to go along with the ride, enough to suspend your disbelief, and then they filled in the pieces in the sequel. So like we don't need to have a scene where the mayor like, you know, explains the whole evil background of the town. We could just, to your point, we could just have you know, Clark at some point just be like, they made me do it. I didn't want to, like, I couldn't help myself. It's like the legacy of the town, blah, blah, blah. And then just kind of leave people asking questions, which I personally love. I know some people get frustrated when you don't give every tiny fucking little question answered, but I love it when I feel like this, I see a movie, but there's more, like there's a story left out there. You know, I really enjoyed that. Cause then it's like, either I'm going to get a sequel or I get to enjoy it in my head, like telling the rest of that story of like, what happened? You don't have to wrap up every loose end.
Let's not give Clark a pancake tattoo on his wrist.
Right. No. I totally agree with what you're saying, Josh. I'm in the same boat, except it, for me, it depends on the world building. Like if they've built up the world enough where whatever this questionable premise is, like if it makes sense in my head to fit into the world they've built, then I don't need all the details. I can fill in the blanks myself. But if it's just like totally out of left field, like, aha, you didn't see this coming, did you? It's like, what the fuck is that? Like that drives me crazy.
Just enough to answer the questions and don't assume that there's going to be a sequel to explain everything, but just enough where you're like, okay, I guess I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I was going to say, so yeah, let's not forget we have Buddy on the table and he's a dick. So he's got to fucking die a horrible, awesome death, something amazing. And I definitely want there to be like panic to break up the crowd before like our big climax. So, you know, I don't know how much we want to use the mayor. I think we can get enough of the backstory out of Clark kind of explaining like, you know, I didn't want to, they made me, that kind of thing. So I would almost love to see the mayor like, you know, like stumble up on stage, like grab the mic to go like, you know, like he cuts the band off in the middle and like, you know, he's going to go make some announcement, but instead he opens his mouth and like blood splatters out and he falls to the ground and he's got, you know, like a big like butcher knife stuck in his back or whatever. Like, and then the crowd fucking freaks out and then you've got panic everywhere. And then it's like, as people are running and screaming, it's like you see people starting to like, you know, fall and die and right. Yeah, exactly. You used to see some random woman runs up at like the camera and screams right in the camera with like waffle marks burned all over her face, like you know.
Oh shit.
You could have one of my favorite movie gags of the topless woman runs past the camera for no reason.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So before we get to that, we should do the thing where Teddy and Agnes are back at their at Agnes's house, and like Teddy is finding like the history of like all these killings, and like maybe this is the point where Agnes finally admits like, you know, that yeah, you know, Angus wasn't blowing smoke. She's like, I just don't like to focus on the bad stuff, and like they have a little talk about like how the town has a history of people going missing or being murdered. And while that's happening, we could juxtapose that with back at the festival, you know, the nighttime stuff is happening. We got the rides kicking up, the band going and all that. And we could see Buddy walking around, you know, hitting on random girls and failing, you know, swinging a miss type of thing. Then finally, maybe he like comes up to somebody who is like, you know, a little receptive to what he's saying, but maybe we don't see the person. Okay. Yeah, maybe it's like, okay, you know, you want to go for a ride on the Ferris wheel, do you? That type of thing. And like, let's have him get killed in like a spectacular, crowd pleasing kind of way. So either do something where like he's thrown from the Ferris wheel and just fucking splats in the middle of a crowd. Or we do something like we convince him to do like the dunk tank, like the dunk tank of Fruit Loops or whatever it is. Yeah. And then have him get like held down under the milk. And he's like, bah, 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 just gurgling, you know, drowning in Fruit Loops. We got to have Buddy killed in a way that the crowd sees it.
Yeah.
For sure. The dunk tank is full of acid and Fruit Loops.
Acid and Fruit Loops.
Nice.
Oh god, just a sludge of cornmeal and blood.
So you can get the you know, like a meal in RoboCop.
Yes. Well, no, that's dude. Okay, no. Okay, that's what it is. So, Buddy, we see him throughout, like, we see the montage of him hitting on people, you know, this, that, and the other. And maybe, like, some girl he's talking to, she's like, you know, I don't know, maybe, but, you know, you'd have to prove to me that you're worth my time, you know? And he's like, how do I do that? And she's like, go get in the dunk tank there, big boy. Like, something kind of like she just wants to get rid of him. Like, she's just kind of egging him on, like, go do something stupid for my amusement.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's stupid enough to believe it's going to get him laid. So, like, he jumps in there. He's like, oh, I'll do it. I'll go in the dunk tank. So he's sitting there, like, all smiling and giddy. And then we just see, again, we see a gloved hand, like, pouring, like, hydrochloric acid or something into the tank, like very obviously, like, you see all the people looking at the tank and someone behind the tank, like, glug, 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 pouring that in. So when Buddy gets knocked into the tank, like, he splashes down, everyone's like, oh, haha, it's so funny. And then he pops up, and yeah, that's where we have the Emil moment. And he's like, hit me, you know, and he's fucking melting, and he's got, like, Fruit Loops stuck in his eye and shit.
Nice.
I'm just picturing a meal covered with milk and cereal. It's just like
marshmallows.
Oh, it would be funny too if the dunk tank, it was like a dunk your boyfriend for a kiss or whatever, and that's why, like, nobody's really paying attention to him, because it's like he's like, oh yeah, this would be great, and then of course the crowd is just like, ew, gross, and like everyone kind of, like, you know, moves away. He's like, yo, come on, someone dunk me, come on, someone dunk me, come on, splash, you know, like, yep. somebody dunked him, all right, but it wasn't, you know, one of the girls trying to get a kiss.
He was part, like, ah,
balanced breakfast.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, so we could have people start, you know, screaming bloody murder and losing their shit. Like, the band, like, you hear the band, like the band stops playing. You know, everyone's freaking out. And then, yeah, we could have the mayor gets up on stage, like, everybody calm down. You know, he's like, it's just, you know, it's a fluke accident, you know, the one time thing type of thing. And then this is where we have him just, like, stop, you know, stop mid speech. And go to say something, that's where he coughs up the blood. And then he falls over, and we see a knife in his back, like, who the fuck stabbed him? He was on stage.
Right? Like, someone's got good aim.
Yeah, someone just hucked a knife from off screen.
I love it.
So we could have, like, the freak out, and, you know, everyone's losing their shit. And maybe, like, I'm trying to figure out a way to get Teddy and Agnes, like, back on the clock, like, back to, you know, so they know what's going on, you know, so they can do the confrontation with Clark.
But don't forget, too, that, like, we just set the whole town to a panic. People are screaming. We're seeing more deaths in the crowd, silly stuff, you know, boobs by the camera. And, yeah, we could just cut back to Agnes's house, and then they just hear screaming, and they both, you know, whip their heads around, like, what the hell's going on? They look out the window, and everybody's running, and then Teddy's like, I fucking told you, you know?
Right. Yeah, like, maybe they just live down the block from where the festival is happening. Like, maybe they're like around the corner or something, you know, something simple where they're literally within walking distance. Mm-hmm. So have them, like, freaking out. Yeah. To your point, Teddy's like, I fucking knew it. I told you something was wrong. You know, they go running back, you know, maybe this is where they run into Clark, trying to figure out, like, what the fuck has happened. He's just like, oh my God, the mayor's been killed and this, that, and the other, you know? And, I'm trying to figure out how we get it to reveal that, you know, he was in on all this. Do we want to have, like, other people in the town involved? Because we just killed the mayor. So we can't have the reveal of, like, the mayor being like, quiet your mouth, Clark, you know.
I don't even know that we necessarily need to, like, reveal the secret cabal of, like, town leaders, you know. Okay, so hear me out. This might be a little anticlimactic, but we just had a huge crowd scene, panic, lots of deaths, a couple of pretty disgusting deaths. So, like, maybe we need a little cool-down period. So what if we have Agnes and Teddy, like, they run out the door, they're like, what's going on with the crowd? You know, Agnes is pushing Teddy's wheelchair, and they're kind of running, and they're running toward Flapjack Franny's. I'm not sure why. Maybe they're like, hey, oh, maybe, yeah, maybe it was like, you know, I bet you Angus is at, you know, at Franny's. Like, we got to find Angus, you know, because they don't, you know, or Teddy thinks he's dead. So maybe, or maybe they're trying to, Clark or Mark, whoever. The point is, like, they're going to run. They need a purpose for running toward Franny's. They're trying to find someone else from the group that's still alive. But again, there's a big press of people. There's panic. At some point, we just see, like, they get shoved over, right? Agnes gets caught in the crowd, or maybe she's just like, oh, shit. And, like, we look down, and, like, the back of her leg's all sliced open. She goes to the ground. But since they're running so fast, again, we topple the wheelchair over. Once again, Teddy, like, topples to the ground. But this time they were going so fast that she's, like, smacks her head into the sidewalk, which would be also, like, a pretty disgusting bloody scene. Like, smack, blood splatter on the sidewalk because, you know, maybe she busted her nose or something. But then it's, like, it goes black. Teddy's knocked out. Teddy comes to. She's laying on the sidewalk. The sun is down. The crowd is gone. Agnes is gone. Her wheelchair is gone. It's just her laying on the sidewalk with, you know, like, blood around her face, nose broken or tooth missing or something. And then she's going to wake up and just, like, you know, obviously, like, what the fuck? And she's going to start, you know, crawling toward, maybe she looks up and maybe there's, like, a payphone, like, outside of Franny. So she's going to start crawling toward that, get to the phone. You know, she gets to the phone, manages to grab it, knocks the phone off the cord. She's pulling herself up. And then you hear the little, like, dingle of the bell of the door, the front door of Franny's, and then out steps Pancake Face. And and it's like, now we're going to get this confrontation. So it's like it's the sort of shorthand of, like, okay, we knew what was going on. Like, that all happened. Now we need to just focus on our main character. And, yeah, you know, and Teddy kind of freezes, like, who are you? What's going on? What do you want? And maybe she's, like, looking around for help. And as she's looking around, she's seeing what she didn't notice before is there's, like, bodies laying in the street. There's, you know, like, a car on fire or whatever. It's like the town is in shambles. And she didn't notice it before because she was groggy. Maybe her, like, vision was blurred, whatever. And, you know, then maybe, like, you know, Agnes, like, stumbles out the door, like, next to Pancake Face, you know, stumble, Teddy. It's Clark, and then bam, she falls down dead or whatever, right? And and just to kind of reveal what happened to her, and then we give Clark a minute, you know, like, he's gonna start advancing on her slowly. You know, he pulls out, I don't know, like, what's a good breakfast themed like weapon, like butcher knife, a cleaver, like a melon baller, I don't know.
he's got a butter knife.
A butter knife, yeah, exactly. A big comical butter knife. And he's going to start advancing on her while Teddy's like, Clark, is that you? Are you behind that? Like, what's going on? And then he's just like, I didn't want to do it. They made me do it. The mayor, all of them, every year. They, you know, first it was, you know, whatever. He mentioned some name. Like, first it was Denny. and like, whatever, it's like, it is, and it's like, it's like, I can't help myself, like, they have some power, we can't stop it, you know, like, you
right know.
And he's some ridiculous thing, like, you know, someday the world will know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
yes fucking yes. Oh my god. So yeah, so I like this. Like, we don't have to explain it fully. He can just, in his little fragmented speech, give away, like you said, like, they made him do it. You know, it started off like maybe he could even say, like, you know, the first Pancake Face. I like the fact that you said Denny, because, you know, Denny's, that's fucking funny. You know, the well, second
earlier before we had revealed who Pancake Face was, I was looking up, like, what would be a funny name? Like, you know, we need a Jason or a Freddy or something. Like, what's our killer's name going to be? And I'm like, it'd be hilarious if his name was, like, you know, Denny.
Well, yeah, it could be, like, there could be, like, Denny, and then there could be, like, Mr. Johnson, you know, first name Howard, that type of thing.
Yeah. Denny, like, Dean, like Jimmy Dean, you know? Yeah. Whatever. But
yeah, he could say, like, you know, there's always been a Pancake Face. There'll always be a Pancake Face in Flapjack, Arkansas, like, and come at her with his butter knife.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, like, she's hanging on the payphone, and, like, and I think it would just be funny if, like, they have a little fight where, like, she's hanging on the payphone with one arm and she's, like, fighting him off with the fucking phone receiver and having a phone versus butter knife, like, fight.
Again, it's a fucking butter knife. Like, you're gonna have to really work to hurt somebody with that, which is both terrifying and hilarious,
right?
It just reminds me of the Robin Hood line, I'll cut his heart out with a spoon. Why a spoon? Because it'll hurt more. It's dull. Like,
exactly. I love that. Oh, man. So, I don't know if it makes any sense, and I don't want to take anything away from Teddy being the final girl, but I almost want, like, somebody, like, from earlier in the movie, like, a surprise return. Like, Angus runs out of the dark, all bloodied and fucked up, and just, like, jumps on Clark, and is just like, you know, I got him, Teddy! You know, and it's like, he's, like, he wasn't dead, but he's, like, real fucked up, you know? Just to kind of help out a little bit, and, I don't know. Like, I don't know if – do we have Teddy kill him? Do we have her, like, successfully get away to get for help? Like, what do we think happens here?
So, that's exactly what happens.
Oh, go for it.
You know the old wives' tale that's actually true of don't put a fork or a butter knife into a toaster?
Yes.
So what if, you know, he's swinging at her, Clark is going at her with the knife with breakfast puns. And at somehow, I don't know if because she's crawling on the ground, she gets a toaster and holds it up to block the blow. And the knife goes in it.
And he gets electrocuted.
Oh, yeah.
He gets toasted. Or you could throw, you'd have to set this up in advance, a vat of hot pancake batter in his face to give him literal pancake face. So if there is a sequel, you'd have this guy has, he's horribly maimed because pancake batter. Or he's wearing the pancake, gets killed and electrocuted, and the pancake cooks onto his face like Dr. Doom style.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah, no, ooh. I think that's the way you do it.
Yeah, no, I think we could do all of these things. So shift the scene a little bit. She gets all the way into the restaurant because earlier we had set up like Chekhov's payphone was like in the restaurant, maybe over by like the portrait of Franny that she saw earlier, right? So she gets in the restaurant and... maybe she sees Agnes like in there and goes to find out, oh shit, Agnes is dead. They're fuck. Oh, cool. There's a payphone. Like she digs a quarter out of Agnes's pocket, like just to buy some time, right? Goes for the phone. Here comes Pancake Face. He does this whole thing about they made me do it. He's like coming out of the shadows of like the kitchen, right? And then yeah, we see Angus busts in, grabs him, gives Teddy just enough chance to like get away. The only place really to go other than outside is like into the kitchen. And in that situation, I'd probably go into the kitchen because there's dangerous shit in there. There's weapons in there, right? So she goes in the kitchen, or maybe it's just the only option that she had from where Angus was. So yeah, so she's in the kitchen, and then you get that cool moment where the slasher is slowly stalking their final victim while they give their villain speech like in the darkness, and they're like, "Ha ha, you're over here. Okay, no, you're not. Ha ha, you're over here. Okay, no, you're not." Yeah, and then it's a fully functioning kitchen. There's like shit burning, you know. Because again, it was open earlier before everyone in the town like panicked. Yeah. So, oh no, I want to correct myself again. She gets to the kitchen. Pancake Face comes at her. That's when Angus jumps out of the darkness and he pushes Pancake Face's face onto the griddle and cooks the fucking pancake right onto his face while he's yelling at Teddy to get out of there. But then Clark throws him off, kills Angus. Now he's standing there with like burnt, half-melted pancake on his face. His face is all fucked up. And then after he like has a couple of fake outs, he's stalking Teddy around. Yeah, she knocks a toaster off the counter, catches it so it doesn't make too much noise while she's on the floor. It's still plugged in. He comes around the corner, with the knife up, swings it down to get her. She pulls the toaster up. The knife goes right in, and she's got some one-liner of like, you know, like orders up, bitch, or whatever, and then you know.
See, now I love this. I want to change a couple of things real quick though. Like, I don't want Angus to die here. I think because we brought him back, he shouldn't just come back just to die. We don't want to do the thing with I always forget his fucking name, but the black biker in Friday the 13th 3. We think he's dead, and then he comes back just to die. It's like, oh, come on. Like, you killed the guy twice. So yeah, let's have him like jump out, do the thing like he shoves, you know, Clark's face to the fucking griddle, cooks him. And then have like Clark swing the butter knife and fucking like stab him in the chest and have Angus go down. So now we do the whole fight that you talked about, like, you know, Clark gives the whole backstory. You know, he's like, maybe he's like scratching at or like smacking, you know, Teddy as she crawls away with like various kitchen implements. Like he's spanking her with a spatula or some shit like that. You know, then she grabs the toaster, pulls it around, like do the whole thing. He gets fried, you know, orders up, bitch, gets fried. He's dead. And then have her laying there. You like Clark's laying dead, smoking from his fucking pancake face. And then Angus, maybe he like, he gets up and he crawls over. He's bloody and he's hurt. And she's like, I thought you were dead. He goes, yeah. You know how hard it is to die from a butter knife? You know, just like, he's like, he stabbed me in the neck early. It hurt like fucking hell, but it didn't kill me. You know, just like have like that comment so we can kind of address the elephant in the room. But what I want to have happen is like, so we do the wind down. We do the traditional wind down moment of like the survivors are sitting there bloody, battered, but you know, they survived. We hear the police sirens, and then maybe he could even make a comment of like, you know, oh, it sounds like the next town over sent in help or sent in reinforcements, something like that. So we see like, you know, police coming by, and then have you know, have Teddy, maybe she's like just kind of sitting there, we focus in on her looking, you know, pained and hurt, and then we kind of like soft unfocus on her and focus on like the burning pancake face, and then back to Angus, and have him hear, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And then just like zoom in on his eyes, cut to black. So like he's the next pancake face.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. This is ridiculous.
We had to have the breakfast is the most important meal of the day line in there somewhere.
Yeah, obviously. Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. My God.
I don't know how that worked out, but holy shit, that was awesome.
Like, what the fuck? What did we just, what have we wrought?
Oh, man. What do you think, Omei?
I knew you guys could do it. I had complete confidence in the two maniacs. That you just need a little nudge and you're so hyperactively creative. That's all you need is some kindling and you guys go crazy.
That's our bread and butter right there.
Exactly.
Just, what kind of wacky fucking story can we come up with?
Oh man, this is awesome. And God, I love it. I love it too. Pancake face. And
you know, we've created a lot of original killers on this show. Yeah. We really have.
This is what, number 3 or 4? You guys have a giant universe of new slashers that you made. Jürgen, you've got the original characters in Slasher Camp. Now you have Pancake Face.
We have the possessed dumpster.
We have the killer dumpster.
we have the Vangabus killer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the fucking Vangabus.
Like, I kind of want to see all these killers lined up, like in a mugshot, kind of like the perpetrator line, you know, where you like see like a dumpster and then like Pancake Face and Jürgen and all standing there.
I wish we had done something a little bit more memorable with Black Friday. That was an interesting one too, but we didn't really get like fun characters out of it. That was a little bit more straightforward.
Oh, Thanksgiving kind of stole your thunder.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for
you've got your version of Thanksgiving, which I think is just as good.
the crazy puritanical one.
Yeah.
I think with Black Friday, like we had the killers in that be a little more realistic. Like the killers in that were just like two crazy motherfuckers that, you know, wanted to murder people. Yeah, you know, it was very Billy Loomis and Stu. I always forget Stu Mocker from Scream. Yeah. Just like, you know, it's more fun when there's no reason. You know, like that's kind of what we did with Black Friday.
Yeah.
Just had two fucking lunatics.
It would be cool though if we went back through our original characters like Jürgen and Pancake Face and like the Vangabus, and yeah, it'd be funny to do like a big crossover where it's like with a fucking like the Scooby Gang in reverse, you know, and, like the fucking Vangabus full of crazy killers.
the Raised by Rentals Dark Avengers. Exactly. We can call them the Revengeancers.
Oh God!
Like from Metalocalypse.
Exactly. Oh man, this is ridiculous. Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous, but it was a ton of fun. I'm definitely glad we did it. I'm always glad when we get to do original stuff. And, you know, we took a little bit of a break from horror shit. I mean, we couldn't get too far away. I do have one more horror idea on the docket. But other than that, yeah, we got to kind of go back to the well and decide what we're going to do next. But yeah, this is a really, really fun one. Man, I'm already thinking like sequels. Like in the sequel, it's got to be like, you know, Flapjack Franny's just like a fucking franchise. Like, and we set it in like Florida or someplace where there's like a shitload of them. You know, it's like,
yes,
it's turned into like the next Waffle House or IHOP or something. And
you just have to change the setting and have more breakfast themed murder.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'd be so much fun.
Pancake Face 2, Operation Miami Beach.
that sounds familiar.
I know, right?
Oh, man.
But space, no one can hear your breakfast.
Oh, man. Okay, so, Ome, appreciate it. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for the great idea. This was definitely a ton of fun, but let's go ahead and wrap it up. Before we get into the socials for Raised by Rentals, what do you want to plug, Mike?
Count Creepyhead, Saturday Morning Monster Mash. That's Creepyhead with a K. Listen, if you want to hear me drop random ideas to Mike and Josh as I just pull things out of the air to see if they can do it. So tune in for hints at an episode in the future.
Yeah, and indeed. I will drop the hint that other episode I mentioned that is a horror themed was actually inspired by a different episode of Count Creepyhead, but you'll have to wait and find out what it is.
Awesome.
The details worked out. So awesome. Yeah, everyone definitely check out Count Creepyhead's Saturday Morning Monster Mash on the socials. It's countcreepy.com, and you can visit us at raisebyrentals.com or at raisebyrentals on all the socials. And of course, stop by redpantheon.com and check out our super team up of podcasters, artists, musicians, all sorts of creative people banded together to help spread the word about rad stuff. Anything else going on with the Boogeyman's Closet, Mike?
No, we're actually coming up on our hiatus. Things have gotten screwed up in February because I got COVID, and then, you know, it was like we had a few scheduling hiccups that put us off by a week, and then other things came up. So we're running a little behind. Our February movies are going to bleed over into March, but then we are taking our hiatus for a couple of months with just only specials will be coming out during that time. But our next episode should be Green Room, which should be next week. Originally it was going to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but some things got screwed up, so we'll be ending on Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice.
But yeah, so Green Room will be next.
All right, good to hear. Yeah, I didn't even mention at the top of this show that we are a little bit behind also because of that goddamn COVID, but that's
indeed.
Okay. It was nice to have a little bit of a break. I had a lot of like crazy ass shit going on with my day job, but I'm going to try to get this episode out pretty quickly and we'll get back in the swing of things. Thanks again, Mike, for joining us. And thanks to everyone for tuning in to the Raised by Rentals program. If you had fun with us, visit us on the socials, drop a line, leave a comment, leave the podcast rating. Let us know what we should improve, or just make up off the top of our heads next time. And with that, I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
I'm Mike, Josh, Mike, Mike, Josh.
And we all have to return some videotapes.
Wash my back.
Raised by Rentals is a member of the Rad Pantheon Network. Visit radpantheon.com to support rad stuff. The theme music is Forbidden Fruit by Velvet Bethany. You can purchase music and learn more at velvetbethany.com.
A House of Pancakes slasher movie where the killer is Pancake Face.